جاي من الشيطان فرحهم دخل المال لا تعالي أشتوف الشيء الذي في مرة فرحنا المال من الفقر إذان بوصر ما هرشي لفوقانك جاي من تيلا فرحش وبشبال فرحهم دخل المال لا تعالي أشتوف الشيء الذي في مرة بقد سبحان وسرسل ما هرشي لفوقانك अनंत भगवान वैष्णव गंदगी रामाचार्य श्री हरदास ठाकुर की एम सभो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवास आदि और भक्त गंदगी श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गौ गोविंद श्याम कुंड राधा गंदगी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मदनपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुनमाई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौरव प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस ऑल ग्लोरियस श्री श्री गुरु गोविंद ऑल ग्लोरियस टू श्री प्रभुपाद नमः शुकलाय कृष्ण प्रस्ताय गुरुदेव श्रीमदे भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रजारिणी सर्वशेष शून्यवाणी पाश्चात्य वेशधारिणी ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसार सागरे मग्नं दीनानां करुणानिधे सर्वग्राहकहीनाङ्गं मामुद्धरभावान् श्रीमद्भागवताख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि श्रीकृतोऽसि मया नमः उद्यर्थं भव सर्वे मनोरथे महीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वयां निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते तथा गुरुष्वदेवेशनाथर्गं नो यदप्रभो नाम सङ्कीर्तनं यस्य सर्वभावप्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिम्बरम् जन्मार्यस्य यदोन्वयादिवरदश्चार्थेष्वभिन्यस्वरा तेने ब्रह्म हृदाय आदिगवये मुह्यन्दियं सूरया तेजो वायुमदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो वृषा धान्यास्येन सदा निरस्तभुहगं सत्यं वरं धीमहि धर्मं प्रोचितवेदवोत्रवरमो धर्मत्सराणां सदां वेद्यं वासोऽत्र वस्तु शिवदं तापत्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किम्वावरेश्वरः सद्यो बुद्ध्यवरुद्यनेत्रकृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तर्क्षणानि निगमकल्पनरोगलिनं फलम् शुभमुखादमुदद्रवसंयुतम् पिबलभागवतम् रसमालयम् मुहुरहोरसिगाभुविभागा सचिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रयविनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयम् यम् प्रव्रजन्तम् मधुवेदमभेदकृत्यम् द्वैवायनो विरहादरमञ्जुभाव पुत्रेति जन्मयदयत्तरवोभेदु तम् सर्वभूतहृदयम् मुनिमातोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारवेगम् अध्यात्मदीपमदितिदेशदान्तमोधम् संसारिणाम् करुणया बहुराणगुह्यम् तम् व्याससूनुमुपयामि गुरम् मुनीनाम् नारायणम् नमस्कृत्य नरम् चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीम् सरस्वतीम् व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरये कमनीयविशोरमुद्धमूर्ते तलवेणो कुटिदाहृदानेन्दोः मनोवाजिविशम्भदामुराये मधुरिन्न कनिकापि काविगामि नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे
ദൂരവാണി പ്രചാരണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാണി പശ്ചാത്യാദേശകാരിണി ശ്രീമൽഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണം ആദരേണു മഹീഷ്ണശം വ്യാസം ഹരിഗതോ ഗീതം പുനഃ വിമോചനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദകർമാനുവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം ആദാരയേശമനിശം പ്രതിഭാവയാമി ഓണം പൂജയം വേണം ശാലോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യവരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസതാം പുരതോ കരോതി അംഗം ലംഘയതേ ഗിരി യൃഭാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമം ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം പാഠായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമീനാം അധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണിം ഭഗവതിം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനിം അന്ധത്വാമനുസന്ദതാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണിം നമോസ്തുതേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ ഉല്ലാരവിന്ദായണപത്രനേത്രാം യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതനൈരപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്നപാരിജാതായ ഗോത്രവേത്രൈകബാണേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതഗൃഹേ നമ സർവോപനിഷദോ കാമോ ദുഗ്ധാഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സസുധീർഭോക്ത ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹർ വസുദേവ സുതം ദേവം കംസചാമ്പുരമർദ്ദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാജയദ്രതചന ഗാന്ധാരനീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ പ്രവേണ മഹനീ നരേന വേരാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാകർണഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോതീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈകണനദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശരിവച സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽപനം നാനാധ്യാനകേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഃ വിവീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാഭാരത പങ്കജ കൈമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ബ്രഹ്മാ വരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്വന്വന്തി വിഗ്രഹീസ്തവേ വേദേ സംഗപദേ ക്രമോപനിഷദേ ഗായന്തേ സമഗാഃ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിതതദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തി യം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം മവിദസുരാസുരഗണേ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ
talked about yesterday, that from this Krishna is preparing us, saying to us that if the Devata is clear, whom one is to worship, then if the Aharam is properly regulated, and if the life has turned to be a yajna, a sacrifice, in the way Krishna has spoken, Satya Radha Satam, if it is in the Satya mode, then that person is ready for the tapasya.
So that is why preparing the person for tapas, that is what this is about, what Krishna has spoken so far. So in this chapter, Shraddhatraya Vibhaga Yoga, in this 17th chapter, Prabhupada calls it as the divine and the divisions of faith. There mainly things which are absolutely useful for engaging in tapas. That is what is Krishna is going to discuss here. That means that tapas which will improve our bhakti, which will improve our jnanam. Bhakti and jnanam. Both bhakti, but devotion and knowledge. So, because everyone must have bhakti. Bhakti is necessary. And therefore, Krishna considers that without bhakti, there is no other yoga process will not work. Even whether one is in the jnana margam, yoga margam, karma margam, even there bhakti is necessary. Therefore, that is what Krishna is going to start talking about that. And that is why Krishna says there that this Shraddha, what he has spoken about, that is present in everything, whether it is bhakti or jnanam or yogam or karmam, in everything Shraddha is necessary. And Krishna has spoken the important sadhanas for that Shraddha, particularly in relationship with aharam and yajnam. Krishna has spoken. So, and Krishna also mentioned that all these things, depending on the variegatedness or the variations of the Shraddha, based on that, it will manifest in three different ways. Sattvikam, Rajasam, Tamasam. That means according to the Sattvikam, Rajasam, Tamasam, if the Shraddha is in Sattvikam, Yajnam will be Sattvikam. If Shraddha is Rajasam, Yajnam will be Rajasam. If Shraddha is Tamasam, Yajnam will be Tamasam. In the same way, Aharam also. In the same way, Devadas also. Now, Krishna is going to talk about Tapas, isn't it? So, so it is an important part of this divisions of faith, this Tapas. When we hear the word Tapas, Tapasya is a very frightening word, isn't it? Because we hear from the Bhagavadam how Hiranyakashipu performed his tapasya, how Ravana performs his tapasya. They are all great personalities who performed the tapasya. But it is not that type of tapasya what Krishna is going to talk about. That tapasya, because otherwise if you start thinking that tapasya means only for personalities like, we see Mujukunda has performed tapasya, Ravana has performed tapasya, Hiranyakashipu has performed tapasya. If Krishna is to talk about that kind of tapasya, we will not be able to relate with that. Because that tapasya, what Krishna is talking about, their tapasya, is all Rajasam. That's what you have to remember. That when we read that tapasya, it looks very horrifying, isn't it? Very powerful tapasya they have done. It's very, very severe austerities and penances what they have performed. Krishna is not going to talk about that kind of tapasya. That kind of tapasya, Krishna considers it as Rajasam, not Sattvikam, not Sattvikam. So, or Krishna includes them in the Tamasam. So, when that kind of tapasya, when Krishna discusses, it considers Rajasam or Tamasam. So, this tapasya, what Krishna is going to discuss now, is that tapasya which everyone can perform, which everybody can perform. Very simple and in a very simple execution also simple as far as tapasya is concerned. And that tapasya which can be executed in a simple way, it's called bhakti. That is called bhakti. And that is what Krishna is going to discuss in the next few verses. Yesterday we discussed about yajnam, isn't it? So yajnam, Krishna mentioned how should we do that? Yajnam has to be performed without expectation of results, he said. Bhalecha. Without any expectation of results and fully complying with the injunctions of the Shastram. Shastra Vidhi. He mentions there, isn't it? In that verse, if you look, you will see
that abhadakamshidhari yajnyo vididrishtoya ijyade vashyashtavya viviji mana samadhayasa sattvika. Krishna said that in the earlier verses. So, only thing is that it has to comply with the shastram and there should be no expectation of results. When there should not be anything else, any reason for that, that means there should be nothing attached with that. So only in that case, Krishna says, yashtavya meveji mana, only then it becomes a yajnam. And suppose that if we do that with the expectation of any results, not like that, only with the understanding, I have to do it, I have to do it, and I'll do it as it's instructed by the shastram. If you do it like that, Krishna says it is sattvikam. It is sattvikam. Yeah, that is that the verse we have seen yesterday. Abhalakamshitari yajnum vididrishtoya ijyade yashtavyam evidhi mana samadhayasa sattvikam. It's 11th verse. So there Krishna spoke about the qualifications for executing sattvika yajnam in the mood of goodness. Rajogunam and tamogunam, that yajnam we don't have to worry about that, because Krishna is already says there that the that which improves our that food that improves the health and that creates a sattvagunam in the mind, and at the same time it gives the strength for engaging in sadhana in spiritual life, adhyatma sadhana, or and that one which does not create any disturbance in the system. All these are part of the sattvika yajnam. It creates that. What all it does, it improves the health of the body, that means it does not create unnecessarily diseases in the body, and it creates sattvagunam in the body and the mind, and it gives them enough sufficient energy and sufficient strength to execute the sadhana in spiritual life. And above all, he says here that it does not create any disturbance in the system. That is what is wanted for performing tapasya, for performing tapasya also. So, in that connection, Krishna has spoken there that the earlier when he talked about the food, he said, Rasya snigdha sthira hridya ahara sattvika priya. So that person who takes that kind of food, which one? Rasya snigdha sthira hridya. Hridyam, it should be hridyam. And it should be prepared by those who have got bhakti, who have got bhakti in them. And it should be prepared by wealth, which was earned through dharma. All this is a part of that. So, the dharmic way earned wealth, which is used for preparing prasadam by those who have bhakti with them in their heart, and all that is sattvikam. All that is sattvikam. Krishna said that if you are taking prasadam in that way, that prasadam is sattvikam. So, in this way, these things what Krishna has mentioned in this chapter so far, it should be reviewed every day, if possible, or now and then, that are we deviating from that, anything. We should analyze ourselves. Similarly, Krishna also spoke about the Devata Upasana. All this is has to get translated into our own life. So, Sattvika Devata, who in the mood of goodness, they should be worshipped. And the austerities in the mode of goodness, Sattvikam, Krishna, and they mentions there the main deities, Vishnu, Shiva, Sri Parvati, Devi, Ganesh, and Surya, Sun. All these are devadas which are worshipped outside, which are worshipped outside. So in Sanatana Dharma, all of them are worshipable, but we don't have to make them sattvikam, mainly because that power we don't have. Other forms, sometimes we may not be able to worship in the sattvika form. For example, some devotees of Sri Parvati. Parvati Devi has come as Kali also, isn't it? The form of Kali. But they have the capacity to worship her
by the process of worship in the mode of goodness. Just like Jadavarala was not disturbed with Kali. He was able to relate with her even when she came out from the deity form and started killing all the other pujaris who were present there. Jadavarala didn't say one word about it. Why? The reason being, Jadavarala knew that she is Sachidananda Swarupani. That means, because of the Sattvagunam in Jadavarala's consciousness, it did not disturb him by seeing that frightening form of Devi. Whereas, if we were in that position, probably we would have got disturbed over that. But Jadavarala was not disturbed. Why is that? Because the Sattvagunam in Jadavarala prevented that happening. He will worship her only in the Satyam nature, Satyam mode. And there are many others who have worshipped her in the same way. So, Satya Upasana is like that, and these five deities are worshipped in generally by different people, and that is called Panchayatana Puja. And general knowledge that mentions there that, so, Lord Shiva is worshipped, Vishnu is worshipped, and Ganesh is worshipped, Sun is worshipped, and Shri Parvati is worshipped. And in all of these different deities are sometimes worshipped from, they have different places where their forms have originated. For example, all the five deities are taken from five different places, from the stones. And in Panchayatana Puja, in the five different forms of worship in Bharata Bhumi, what they do is that, for example, the Shivalingam that has been brought from Narmada River is very much worshipped in many places. And Salagrama Shila from Gandaki River is worshipped as Vishnu. So, similarly, Swarnamukhi, there is the deity for the Ganesh brought from there. So, in this way, from different places, well-known places, the stones that are brought from there are taken as the form for worship. So, depending on what form one is worshipping, but the one why it has been done like that is that why these five, many people worship these five different forms at the same time. Reason is that if you worship one form, and if someone else is worshipping another form, they should not create any conflict in our own mind for this, and not to feel any uneasiness with somebody else who is worshipping another form. It is only for that reason that they worship all the five forms, even though one particular form may be very dear to you. Ishta Devata, they call it, isn't it? So, one form may be very close to your heart, but you will still respect and offer flowers and worship to others. In order that, even when you have to deal with others who have worshipable forms different than yours, still within your heart, not to develop any negative feeling about them. Negative feeling about them. So, this worship of these five different forms is actually a samskaram inside. Samskaram inside. Otherwise, what will happen? There will be a lot of difficulties in that way. So, all this is done. This is not knowledge. This is worshipping. Worshipping for what purpose? Before spiritual knowledge and knowledge of the self develops in a person, in order to develop chitta shuddhi in that person. That is why all this worship is. Worship is for creating purification of the heart. So that it is at that time that to get some clarity inside, a purity inside. So these devata upasana or aharam or yajnam, all these things are meant for that purpose. In order to create that chitta shuddhi, purification of our own existence. And fourth one, Krishna is saying here as the tapasya. Tapasya is what is going to be discussed. And this tapasya also, Krishna is going to categorize them into sattvikam, rajasam, tamasam in three different ways. So Krishna is going to talk about this sattvikam process of tapasya Sattvika tapas in three verses, in three different ways, how it does it happen. When you execute tapas, how it happens in three different ways, based on the three different kinds of Shraddha. So, that means, one, that is executed by the body, austerity is executed by the body. Then, austerity is required in relationship with our speech. Then, austerity is required in relationship with our mind. In this way, three kinds of austerities, or tapas. And that is what Krishna is going to start from now on. Let's look at the first verse, verse 14. Verse 14.
Deva-dvija-guru-pratyam
Pujanam-shaujam-arjavam
Brahmacharyam-ahimsascha
Shariram-tapamuchyate
Deva-dvija-guru-pratyam
Pujanam-shaujam-arjavam Brahmacharyam ahimsacha Shariram tapamuchyate. So that is the first one. Krishna is saying, Devadvija Guru Pratya Pujanam Shaujam Arjavam Brahmacharyam ahimsacha Shariram tapamuchyate. Austerity of the body consists in worshipping the Supreme Lord, the Brahmana, the spiritual master, and superiors like the father and mother, and in cleanliness, simplicity, celibacy, and non-violence. Devadvija Guru Pratya Pujanam Shaujam Arjavam Brahmacharyam Ahimsacha Shariram Tapamuchyate. Says, so, Devacha Dvijacha Guravaha Cha Pratyacha Devadvijaguru-prajna, tesham pujanam, Devadvijaguru-prajna-pujanam, shaujam-arjavam, hrajitvam, brahmacharyam, ahimsacha, shariram-ruvartyam, shariram, sharira-pradhanehi, sarvehi, eva-karya-karanehi, kartradhibi, sadhyam, shariram, tapa-uchyade, panjaide, tasya-hedava, idhi-vakshadi. So, for a person, one who can execute that on his own, and that these things like brahmacharyam, celibacy, or ahimsa, and purification of oneself, through these things, they have to worship the devadas, different forms, the great teachers or the acharyas who have come in the parampara, and the great jnanis who are realized to souls, how we should worship them with our body. That is what Krishna is saying here, and that there are five kinds Krishna talks about. That will come in the next chapter. But in this chapter, Krishna is saying here, first thing about with the body. The easiest thing one can do as far as the tapas is concerned is with the body, is it not? Because with the body is physical thing, it is. It is a physical thing. That means sadhana. Sadhana is the one. So, when Krishna says, Devadvija Guru Pratya Pujanam Shaujam Arjavam Brahmacharya Ahimsacha Shariram Tapauchade, everything is shariram, related to the body. So, first of all, from that is Deva Pujanam. Deva Pujanam means, in our routine life, there is worship of the deity, and there should be some routine practice of worshipping the deity is concerned. And strict discipline in the routine way of doing it, a strict discipline, that is called Anushtanam. Anushtanam. Those who worship the deities, therefore, earlier Krishna spoke about Devada Upasana, isn't it? Worshipping a form. And that form should be favorable to us. That's the way it should be worshipped. For example, even though those who have transcended all these things, There is one simple thing. What is that? You can try this out yourself. Children goes to the children who have gone to the temples when they were small, and when they see somewhere those who had that training in the early days in their life, what will happen is they will, when they see in their, if they are traveling somewhere some spiritual activity is going on, kirtanam or deity worship or anything goes on, in the early days in their life, if they have participated with bhakti, then we may also may have done that in early life. For example, worshipping the deity, chanting the holy name, or engaged in reading Srimad Bhagavatam. You have done all that in the early years in life. Imagine that. And if you have stopped all that due to some changes in the lifestyle, or things have happened in such a way that you had to give it up, all that at some point in time, and then much later you have left it, but at the same time it is possible that even if you come back to spiritual life later in life, the possibility is this, that we may have forgotten all that what we have done in our early life. Many, many great personalities, what they make them great is, what has made them so great is that they will not forget the path they have gone through in their early life. Quite often it happens that we have lived in our life, and in the early years probably you may have some opportunity to engage in spiritual life, and you did that out of pressure from the parents or from family members without knowing what you are doing. In other words, you didn't have the philosophical understanding or the proper shastric knowledge of everything, but still you were engaged in some spiritual activity in the early years in life. Later on, due to various circumstances in life, you have given up all those habits. And then much later you have come back to spiritual life again. And at that point in time, it's possible that you have forgotten everything what you had done in your childhood or in the early days in life. But great personalities, they never forget what they had gone through in their early life. That is what makes a big difference for them. That they will know what they had gone through in their nursery classes, and they are capable of teaching the children also spiritual life, and equally they will be able to teach in the higher level, in the those realized souls, those who have realized the truth later. They will have the capacity to teach that smaller children, if it comes to them, if they comes to him, they'll be able to, he'll be able to teach them in the nursery level for the small children about spiritual life. And also he'll be able to teach those who are in the much higher level, both of them. That means they will not forget through the path they have come through in their life. That is why if he has the remembrances of everything in him, he will be in a position to show others the path properly. So, you can see that sometimes we will see, think like this, that we approach some institution and we learn some yoga system from there, and when we wanted to perform meditations or any individual upasana or sadhana at home, particularly householders, if there are small children at home and they also require some inspiration from us to engage in spiritual activity. So, therefore, in order to give that feeling to others, it's necessary that one must have some symbols at home, either in the form of deities or photographs, or in some way the house should have these things, so that the children who observe those things, that will have a permanent mark in their heart about those things. For example, they may not understand Ramachandra's form, Krishna's form, or Vishnu's form, Shiva's form, all these things. But as far as children are concerned, form is very important for them. That is how they first come to spiritual life. They can't enter into spiritual life without any form. That is their first step. So it's not only good enough, we must have photos of great personalities, Mahalpas, and at the same time, and that the for keeping the photographs of the deities and things at home is very helpful in developing spiritual thoughts in the minds of the children. And that you can see, even if you go to some of the ashrams and all, they'll keep the photographs of the Swamiji's photos or the Acharya Parambara's photo. Some places it is kept there. So, similarly, all the great personalities whom you have reverence for their spiritual realization or their spiritual position, their photographs and things like that. So, if you ask the question, is that sufficient? If you ask that question, experience says that it is not sufficient. But, for an advanced person, he may not require all of these things. For an advanced person, one who has come to a higher level, he may not need all these things. But in small children, one's nature, you can see that they need something what they normally don't find in this world. Such a form is necessary for them. And therefore, they need definitely an image, a form at home, so that they may not deliberately do any particular service, or particularly any sadhana at home, but still by seeing that form in the form of photographs or deities at home, and they will develop some spiritual understanding which may come to their help later. So, that is why all the devadas, particularly you can see that generally Vishnu form, if you take the Vishnu form, it is Vishnu's normal form, it is presented in the 400 form, with conch shell, disc, lotus flower and the club in the four hands, is it not? So, particularly, but when you go to different temples, even though the Vishnu form is worshipped there, they will decorate that form on different festival days in different forms. Vishnu form is worshipped as Narasimha on the Lord Narasimha's Narasimha Jayanti or Narasimha Chaturdashi day. It is worshipped in that form. Vishnu form is worshipped as Ramachandra on Ramanavami day. So the same Vishnu form is dressed in many form, in many different ways, depending on different festival days. Appearances of Ramachandra, Vishnu form is dressed as Ramachandra. Appearance of Narasimham, Vishnu form is dressed as Narasimham. Appearance of Janmashtami time day, Vishnu form is dressed as Krishna. And similarly, Vamanamurti's appearance day, Vishnu form is dressed as Vamanamurti. Is it not? So, like this, why is it done like that? To make aware to the children that these different incarnations, absolute truth is one. From them, all different forms have appeared. So, it gives also an opportunity that you can dress the deity in different ways. So, and those forms, what are shown there, they are such forms which are divine and does not belong to this plane of our mind. Those forms does not belong to the plane of our mind, above than that. And that is required. And think forms which we normally don't see in this world,
And at the same time, when we worship them in different forms, when those photographs at home, or the deities dressed in the temple in different forms, that presence creates a different understanding inside. That when you see these different forms, naturally in a child's mind, he starts wondering, if he is a little bit sensitive, that he saw the same deity worshipped in different forms, it creates an understanding inside that the level of spirituality, when you go on a higher plane, that it is not mundane, it is above the experience of this world, in order to create that feeling in their heart. And that is why, even if we don't do anything, it is recommended that to keep a lamp burning in front of the deity form or photograph or whatever that is. And traditionally people have done this for very, very long time. Because they say that Agni, fire, is, looking at fire itself is considered to be very, very good. And therefore, there are many subtle reasons behind it. If you look into the deity worship practices written by the great personalities who are in the deity worship traditions, you will find they are talking about this. Why Agni is necessary? Why Brahmanas kept Agni going for generation after generation in Agnihotram? Why they did that? So, they say that presence of Agni removes all inauspicious things from the atmosphere. They have their own reasons for doing so. So, this much is enough that in the rishis, the sages, what did they do in the forest? They lighted fire there, so that in their ashram where they lived, wild animals will not come closer to them. So, there, weapons won't help, but Agni can do that. Fire can do it, weapons cannot do it. Because they say that many, many ashrams, they kept the fire going because of this reason. And similarly, keeping a lamp, Agni, at home, in our subtle plane, Sushma Mandalam, they call it, in a subtle plane, certain disturbances won't happen inside if the Agni is there. That is why we keep this ghee lamps or oil lamps burning at home, for this reason. So electricity light is not enough. It has to be either oil or the ghee, whatever it may be. So and Agni is necessary. So in the Agni, in the Shastram says that there are various kinds of Agni. 7 different Sapta Jihwa, they call it. Through 7 tongues, the Agni receives the offering. So, the one that is Agni that is created through the oil, or Agni that is created through the chamata, grass, the dharma grass, and then Agni that's created by the firewood, and similarly, all these things exist there, and therefore, they gave importance to the medium through which food was prepared. Olden days, they prepared always food with the firewood, is it not? So, and they mentions there that wood turns into fire later, when they are cooking the food. Wood turns into fire. Similarly, and that fire did not develop from the atmosphere, Whatever fire that was hidden, present in that wood, that has come out. When you light the wood, that fire that was inside that wood has come out. So, what you have done actually is that, when you light it with the fire, the fire that was inside, Agni that was inside that wood, that you have made it to come out. That has made that to come out. So, suppose you have cooked something with that fire, and that part of fire that was in the wood, that has come and
that has come out, and through the pot it has entered into the food, whether it is rice or whatever that is there. So, and there is water there, through the water and that fire entered into the food, what is being cooked, isn't it? And this is, and this we know, that fire which was in the firewood, it has come through the pot, through the water to the rice, and it has cooked the rice, is it not? So that agni, what was in the wood, has entered into the rice. So it is undeniable that this factor, that means that the agni that was in the wood, the subtle part of that, sushma amsham, that entered into the pot, entered into the water, and finally entered into the rice that was being cooked, isn't it? So now we have changed the medium. We are cooking by gas or petroleum products, for example, methane or whatever gas they say about it. So we have no choice now. That's what we are doing now, isn't it? So it is that petroleum product that's what's entering into the food. It's a petroleum product that's entering into the food. So will there not be any difference when we do that? It has to be, isn't it? It has to be. It has to have a difference. We are thinking we are very intelligent people, piped gas and coming from, with all our engineering, we have brought the gas all the way from North Sea or wherever it is. And so, it is a difficult thing. These things have a subtle effect on our life. That is what Krishna is pointing out. That when the life system is not pure, then all these things will have its own impact on our consciousness also. So our situation is, we have created fire, no question about that. Only thing, the answer is wrong. You have solved the problem, but the answer is wrong. So the steps what you have followed is correct, but only thing is, the final answer is wrong. Suppose you have solved a mathematical problem, the process you have followed is correct, but the answer finally you got was wrong. Similarly, you have created fire from various different sources, but finally the impact of that fire on us when we eat the food cooked with that fire is negative. Is negative. That's what Krishna is saying here. So therefore, these things we have to understand, that because these things are, which is the negativity of the life, what we live in this world. So Krishna is saying here, Devada Aradhana, first he is talking about that. Deva Dija Guru Prajna Pujanam Shaujam Arjavam. Krishna says, there Pujanam Shaujam Arjavam. There must be purity in all these things. Deva Guru Dvija Guru Prajnam Pujanam Shaujam Arjavam. For example, you can see here, Devada Aradhana, if you are worshipping the deity, suppose, if every day if you are paying your obeisances to the deity at home, everyone may not be living close to the temple, but if you are worshipping at home, if every day you are paying obeisances to the deity, if you are offering one or two flowers to the deity and paying your obeisances to the deity, then children will notice that. Children will notice that. And it will have, in a subtle level, an impact on them. In a subtle level, they will see that it will impact them. But instead, if the father, mother, grandmother, everybody is sitting together and watching the television, and then they are telling the children, go to the temple room and do your sadhana or whatever that is, he is not going to listen to it, and he won't do it either. Because what he is saying is, he is saying something different than what we are telling him to do. And this is very important thing. Because not for others, instructing more than instructing others, it's more important than doing it yourself, isn't it? This is one side of that. So, why we are saying all this thing is, that our tapasya in life, this is all tapasya, simple things they are, that should never be given up. That should never be given up. It is for that purpose we are saying. As long as there is the body is allowing us to do these things, we should definitely do them, do those things. Either going to the temple or worshipping at home in such a way that whoever is present in the house will observe those things. It should never be given up. So, Deva Puja, Krishna is saying here, Deva Dvija Guru Pravatnya Pujanam Shaujam Arjavam. So, Deva Puja or worship of the deity is a tapasya. Krishna is saying here, is a tapasya. And similarly, those who are very well established in spiritual life, they will perform abhishek for the deity at home, or offering with the flowers to the deity, and whatever prasadam that's prepared at home is offered to the deity every time, and plus they recite some very important stotram or the prayers in front of the deity, and they perform meditation about the deity, and they pay their obeisances to the deity. All of that belongs to this Deva Puja. What Krishna is saying here. Deva Dvija Guru Pratya Pujanam Shaujam Arjavam. He says here. So, and finally, after doing all that thing, Aradhana, and he performs the Aradhi to the deity, and pays obeisances again, and takes the holy water, what has been used for the bathing, and take it as a tirtham inside. All this is a detailed way of explaining about this Deva Puja. So, this Deva Puja, if somebody is doing it at home every day, to the extent that he is capable of doing that, of course it can be done in detail depending on one's capacity. Krishna is saying it is a tapasya. It is a tapasya. So, because of that upasana, it's done with the body mostly, isn't it? But that is why shariram tapa uchyate, Krishna is saying there. Shariram tapa uchyate. It is a tapasya of the body. So if you are doing deity worship at home, it is a tapasya for the body. It's a tapasya for the body. Or if this is not possible, if ideally it is the best thing to do, because everybody may not be living so closely to the temple. Otherwise, we should have to have some access to the temple where deity worship is going on, and participating in that worship there in some form. That is also tapasya. Krishna is saying here. And because by doing that, at least at that time, you will remember Krishna. Meditation will happen. All this can be done with the body. Otherwise, what sometimes people say that dhyanam, for example, meditation, oh, I'm not in a mood to do it, isn't it? But for this Deva Puja, whether you are in a mood or not, it does not matter. As a ritual, in a mechanical way, it can happen with people, isn't it? Because often those who are performing sadhana, they will say like this, many days I have been doing now in a mechanical way things. They say like that. I have been doing it mechanically, he says. Because in my consciousness, I am not feeling any enthusiasm to do it, nor I am feeling any inspiration to do it. And I am just doing it in a mechanical way. Sometimes people say like that, isn't it? But Shastram says to us, whether you have a mood or not, do it. Still do it. Because nowhere it is mentioned that only when you get a mood you should do these things. Apala kanshubi. Krishna says that without expectation of results, if you bring that into practice in life, Krishna says that is a shariram tapa uchyate, he says here. So, deva dvija guru pratnya pujanam shaujam arjavam brahmacharya ahimsacha shariram tapa uchyate. So, if you do worship of the deity at home, whether you are completely focused or not, it doesn't matter. If it's a discipline that comes into your body through that,
A discipline comes to the body through that, by doing it every single day. So that is why Krishna is mentioning here as shariram tapa uchyate, he says here. So, I know these days are different, but shastram we cannot alter it. Shastram is shastram, that we have to accept it. So whatever time we have allotted for spiritual life in the morning or in the evening, whatever time there is, one should engage in these activities. So main result is that main advantage of doing this is, whether you have the mood is there or not, that is not the important thing. The reason is that if you are committed for doing these things, at least at that time, you won't do any other nonsense with your body. It's all meant for that. To bring such a discipline in life that you don't do something else which is detrimental for spiritual life. To prevent us from doing that, they've instituted this deity worship at home. Deity worship at home. They knew very well that you will not be all that serious, or you may not have completely focused on the worship of the deity. But still, one must do that, Shastram is saying to us. So even though that more powerful it is that doing something more positive, this is, we mentioned this many times, doing something positive is not the important thing. Not doing anything negative is more powerful. You see? Not doing anything negative is more powerful than doing something positive. It's not possible to do, because every time when we move, pull ourselves out of some negative activity, it strengthens inside. It strengthens inside. That is why. So, you will see this by practice only. By practice only. Unnecessarily, our attention, our mind, our body will not go into the wrong place. Will not go into the wrong place. So many things people include in that. Many people, they worship the deity according to their schedule. They do it, abhishekam, or offering flowers, fruits, and then afterwards they will have prepared some naivedyam and prasadam and cooked and offered to the deity. And then they will sit down and read one or two chapters from Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam in front of the deity. In this way, that they get used to, at least that time, their attention does not go in other things, isn't it? Somehow or the other, to engage the body in some service, so that body won't demand other gratification, other sense gratification. That's the purpose. So, some people, those who have learned mantram, how to chant the different mantras, they may use that as well. But that may or may not happen, doesn't matter. Krishna is saying here, as a part of this daily worship of the deity, circumambulation of the deity, paying obeisances to the deity, if he's done all these things, then even if you think that it is an exercise for the body, that it is still beneficial to the person. Suppose you are doing some exercise outside, physically. People do various kinds of, they go to the gym, they do various kinds of things, isn't it? That benefit by engaging in bodily exercise outside, that won't give you the same benefit if the body is engaged in the worship of the deity. Like circumambulating the deity in the temple. That is why in most of the temples you will see that where proper temples were built, designed and built as a temple, you will see that outside the deity room, there will be a path for circumambulation of the deity. Circumambulation of the deity. Big temples, if you look, you will see that. It was done for this reason only, that some devotees, they perform so many times, circumambulate the deity room, temples, deity's room. And that is in the Shastra mentioned so many times, recommended for doing that. So, that is considered to be worship of the deity. At the same time, it also gives some physical physical exercise for the person's body. So, if you ask the yogis, they will talk about these things. Dorbhyakarnam, they say. Dorbhyakarnam means holding on to both the ears and performing a particular way, obeisances to the deity. They say that it has a tremendous effect on all the nervous system in the body. Because many devotees who worship Ganesh, they perform a particular way, they pay their obeisances to Ganesh, isn't it? It's not specific for the Ganesh, it's kept like that, but it is with this intention that Shastram says that it has a certain benefits for the body is concerned. So, when Ganesh was a little child, Lord Vishnu came there. Lord Vishnu is Ganesh's uncle, isn't it? When he came that time, Ganesh was sitting down in very serious mood and he didn't play. At that time, what Vishnu did, this is all stories in the Puranam, Vishnu took his disc and handed it over to him, to Ganesh to play with, when Ganesh was a little boy. So Ganesh took that disc and put it into his own mouth, and he will not give it back to Vishnu. So Vishnu tried to make Ganesh laugh so that it will come out from inside. It's a story in the Puranam. So at that time, in order to humor Ganesh, Vishnu put one leg on the other leg, like this cross leg, opposite ways, and then put the hands also in the opposite way like this, and did this in front of Ganesh. When Ganesh saw that, he felt funny and he threw the disc out from inside. That is how it started. You will see in many places when they offer their respects to Ganesh in that way. So the Sudarshana disc, what was in Ganesh's mouth, it came out at that point. So in the Puranam, all these things are spoken for one reason only, that it became a process of worship of Ganesh in that way. Therefore, we do it like that. So, people say that now, these people who are analyzing everything scientifically, they say if you do that, your cholesterol level will come down. Something like that. Whether true or not, I don't know. So, paying obeisances flat on the ground, performing this kind of worship to the deity and circumambulating the deity, offering the flowers, chanting the various hymns from the well-known Shastram, and engaging in joint worship of bhajans and other things. That system was followed in the past by many, many people, which was lost in due course of time. If you ask the question, if I do all these things, what will I get? There is no answer for that. And we should not ask that question either. Because here, the result is not what we are looking for. What we are trying to do is that our nature, the mind, what is inside, that mind will engage the body in different ways in this world, according to our vasanas, isn't it? So to prevent that happening, and to keep that discipline strong inside, not allowing the body to go in a free way to do what it wants, instead keeping it under control, that is tapasya with shariram, with body, what Krishna is talking about. So simple things, but much very important as far as spiritual life is concerned. All this is done to develop that power of shraddha inside, in order to keep that shraddha inside. So if you say that, what will I get by doing all these things? The answer is that for us, important thing is not karma. Is it like that only if you get something, you will do something? No, that's not the point. All anushtanam, all the daily activities, what we do is not to get anything. Not for getting something, but not to get anything. That is what it is. Because if you stop this anushtanam or this sadhana or upasana, you may get something, and that is the problem. That is the problem. because you can see, because we have developed so many vasanas inside us, which is following us all the time, and that vasanas are eventually manifesting in the form of different bodies in us. So, already we have received how many lifetimes, how many different bodies we have already developed around us, is it not? So, at least we have to make up our decision not to further develop any more fresh vasanas inside. So, without any expectation of any results, just for the sake of discipline alone, yashtavyam evedi, pujaniyam evedi, Krishna is saying here, in the last verse you will see there, that yashtavyam evedi mana, that's what it is. Yashtavyam evedi mana, that is in the 11th verse. Samadhyasa satuya. This is what is that all about. Yashtavyam evedi mana. That mind does not drag us in its way. Instead, with our force, by doing these things, the mind will become weaker. Mind will become weaker. Otherwise, if you live in this world completely dictated by the mind, that means we have completely become the slave of the mind, isn't it? So that is the reason why these different processes, Poochanam, Shaujam, Arjanam, sometimes when you do that, you may think that, oh, that's just a ritualistic thing. I'm not interested. They will say like that. That's also not correct. Because it may be a ritual, but what's harm in doing that ritual? The idea behind that is, we are coming out of the mind in that way. Normally we say, if I like it, I'll do it. If I have some interest in doing that, I'll do it. But if you do things which you are not interested in doing, that's the one which will actually give you that strength of freedom from the mind. Those things, if you do that, that is showing to us that you are in a position to do things independent of the mind. Whereas if you say it every time, only things what I like I will do, otherwise I won't do it. If you take that approach, then you are always under the control of the mind then. Is it not? Many people say like that, oh, that's not interesting, I'm not interested in that. Or, I'm not interested in doing this or that, whatever it is. So what does it mean? It means he's always under the control of the mind. Whereas those people, those personalities who do these things every morning, every day, single day in life, you will see them, they are very much out of their mind. They will always have a perfect control on their mind. They won't be disturbed about things. All that, what Krishna is going to talk about, that shanti inside, you will see that in them. And it's not that they have, even it may be a ritual, it doesn't matter. That's what Krishna is saying here. So, so if only the mind is interested, and if you are working based on the interest of the mind, that means you are completely under the grip of the mind. Is it not? If you only do things which is approved by the mind, that means you are completely under the control of the mind. That's what it is. So, Krishna is saying here, whether the mind is interested or not, taking it as a kartavyam, kartavyam means injunction of the shastram, if one does that, it means that you are freed from the grip of the mind. Freedom from the grip of the mind. So, basic principle in this tapas is this, that something what the mind doesn't like, if you keep on doing that, your tapasya, the strength from the tapasya will build up. Will build up. If you understand that principle. That you do things what the mind doesn't like. And if you keep doing that, your tapasya will get better. Tapasya will get better. It's a totally wrong notion that only things what I like I will do. That's a wrong philosophy, wrong understanding. The right thing is that Shastram says this, I will do that. Mind likes it or not, that's another thing. I have nothing to worry about that. If you keep doing like this, in due course of time, we will come free ourselves from the grip of the mind. This is a very important principle. But devotees don't take that seriously sometimes. They think that, oh, today I'm not in a mood, so I won't chant, or I won't hear Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, because I'm not in a mood. That shows how weak that person is. It's a weakness of the person. If you come to spiritual life and self-realization is the goal, then you have to follow the science behind it. And that science is Krishna is explaining here. That's a weakness otherwise. Only if the mind, one day mind will tell you one thing, tomorrow mind will tell you something else. So you don't follow the mind, you follow the Shastram. That is what the main point here, Krishna is making here. So, suppose you are interested in something, mind is interested in something. Suppose your mind is interested in something, and to get you do that is not very difficult. It's not an important thing. It's nothing big about that, isn't it? It's not very difficult. So, and if you are doing something what you like to do, then there's nothing much to talk about it. Because you like it, that's why you are doing it. But if you do things what you don't like, and still you are able to do it, that is your strength. That's where the strength is. People ask this question, isn't it? Spiritual life, many people have these difficulties. They think in a different way. They say that I have no interest in, sometimes they say today is not a good day. So, I'm not in a mood. I have something else to do. I'll do something else today. Just for a change, they'll say. Or, as far as chanting the holy name is concerned, if they have taken a decision to chant, then they must chant under any circumstances, every single day, without full. And for this, and those who have got that strength, they are the personalities who doesn't even want to travel, because they are so committed to what they have to do. That is what Krishna is saying here, Shariram Tapamuchyate. That is the tapasa, what he is talking about here. So, because if you depend on the mind, today you will like it, tomorrow you may not like it, the same thing. And therefore what happens, if you like the bhajans, or if you like the kirtan, you will go. If you don't like it, you won't go next day, isn't it? And today I feel like going to the temple, it's a nice day, let's go and see what's happening there. That's not how you go to the temple. You go to the temple with the full understanding that I have to go. It's my responsibility to go there, and you go without any discussing with the mind. And some people say, only if I feel good I'll go, otherwise I won't. So, and if you don't feel good, then you don't go. So, if it is like that, all anushtanam, all these are called anushtanam. Which one? Devadija Guru Prajna Pujanam. All anushtanam, Krishna is saying to us, that completely ignore the mind. Don't never give any attention to the mind and do it. Never give any attention to the mind and do it. And because all anushtanam, all sadhana what we perform, first time when we think about them in our sankalpam, you have to tell the mind, you can go wherever you want, I have decided to do this. I've decided to do this. So, if you want to join, you can join. But if you don't want to join, if you want to go away, you can go. So, you have to send the mind, you have to stay away from the mind and ask the mind to move away from the from your program. You have to act independently at that time, not in consultation with the mind. So, so, two things. Mind, we will say that you have to be very focused, they say. And we also say there should be Shraddha. Shraddha in that. Actually, the reality is it should be done with Shraddha. What does Shraddha mean? Shraddha means whether the mind is joining or not, whether the mind likes it or not, still doing that, that is called Shraddha. That is called Shraddha. So, can you imagine, say at home, there's a family living there, mother, children, father, grandparents, everybody. Now, the mother is responsible for providing prasadam to everybody. She says to them, "No, I'm not in the mood to cook today." Of course, these days they do say that, isn't it? But if a mother starts saying, "I'm not cooking because I'm not in a mood to cook," what will happen to the children? What will happen to them? So you can imagine that kind of determination is necessary in spiritual life. Mother, normally good mothers, whatever may be the situation, because she knows the responsibility, at any cost, she will prepare the food. Is it not? Knowing very well the situation, whether there is interest or not, whether the body is allowing her to do it or not, with all her effort, she will take the interest to cook, because she knows the old people at home needs to be given food, children have to be given food. So similarly, Krishna is saying here that it has to be done, and if you do it like that, that is called anushtanam, nitya anushtanam, Krishna says here. Whether the mind is helpful or not, it doesn't matter. Whether it is focused or not, at this that point in time, even though it's a very limited time, that one has to sit and do that. Let's do that. So this is Krishna's calling it here as the shariram tapam uchyate. That sharirika tapas, what it is. So, otherwise sometimes you can see people, their nature is like, one day they get into a mood of doing something. And 6 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock in the evening, they have done on a festival day or something. Some festival, Janmashtami or Shivaratri or whatever it is. And then he says, next year we will see the same thing I'll do. That's not tapasya. Tapasya is like this, that every single day executing that and performing that, that is not nitya anushtanam, it is naimittikam. She calls it as naimittikam. Krishna is not saying that you have to do 6 or 7 hours, but a certain amount of time every day, what one can afford to. And particularly doing it at the same time, every day, at the same time, at the same place. And once it is practiced like that, once your practice is like that, what will happen is, at that particular time, without asking us, our body will cooperate with us to go and sit in that place where we are doing that sadhana every day. In a natural way it will happen. These are all to bring that control of the body. So, Krishna says, once he has, body has entered into that kind of steadiness, it is called shaririya tapasya. So, and the yajnam becomes very simple, and also calls it as tapo yajnam. Or, in other words, worship of the deity is tapo yajnam. Abhishekam, archana, aradhana, all of the things. And these things has to be performed at home, mostly performed at home. And it has to be done every single day. Every single day. Some people, they do different ways. There are so many things one could do. Some people make a decision. Every single day, I will read Srimad Bhagavatam. 2 chapters or 3 chapters. According to their own arrangement. But you have to make that decision. It's important. It's not good enough that you read all these things in the Bhagavad Gita, but not enforce all these things in your own life. So, deity worship, chanting the holy name, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, these things are all part of this shaririya tapam. Shaririya tapam. Out of that, deity worship is one thing according to one's capacity and the available time. Available time means he has to find some time. He can expand it or keep it to the minimum. Whichever way it is possible, it has to be done. So, Krishna is going to talk about that later. That he mentions here, devadvija guru prajna. Prajna, pujanam shaujam arjavam. if some things like Krishna is saying, dvija, dvija means brahmana. Worship of the brahmana. One should brahmana. Where will you get one today? So that's also difficult, isn't it? So brahmana puja means, basically what it's saying is that to be respectful to the spiritually advanced people. So, that is the way to worship the Brahmana. That's all it is expected. And, especially if he is learned in the Vedam or Shastram, and if you have a humility towards that person, austerity there, and if that Brahmana has the qualifications of a Brahmana also, in that case, you can treat him as a Brahmana and respect him. And if you show respect to such a person, that is tapasya. One who has these qualifications, Krishna is saying here, that if he has studied in the Shastram, Vedam, and if he has the humility of a Brahmana, if he has got austerities and penances in him, and if he is absorbed in spiritual life in the worship of the deity, and all other symptoms, what Krishna says about the Brahmana, if you see that in all these things in him, and if you show respect to him, that is, Krishna is saying, sharira tapam, tapasya. That is a tapasya. But these things are internal, not external. Inside, a respect for the person. But here, in this verse, Krishna is saying mainly about the external things, based on the body. So, externally, you could do things, for example, paying obeisances, and or with folded hands, showing respect to others. And in those things, that is a part of the culture. And then at the same time, the purpose behind that is, if you understand this incident, what happened, you will respect that. When British ruled India, at that time, there was a British, agent or whoever, viceroy, whatever that, I don't know the title it was, Macaulay, when he was in India at that time, he was mentioning this, that it will be very difficult to destroy this culture here. Why did he say that? He was saying at that time that what I find here, he said, is a society who has such a respect for the authority of the Shastram, which he never experienced anywhere. You don't see this anywhere else. Acceptance of the authority of the Shastra. One thing, he mentions like that. And similarly, respect for the Brahmana in his time. We are talking about when the time when British were there. So, unless that culture in them, unless we destroy that, he says, this cult, it will be very, very difficult to keep them under subjugation at that time. So, it was an incident at that time, he mentions there, this has come up in the newspaper also many times. Macaulay was traveling in those rickshaws, or cycle rickshaws or horse carriage or something like that. He was traveling in Calcutta at that time. So, against him, opposite to him, a magistrate. Magistrate was coming opposite to him. That magistrate, when he saw Macaulay, those days it was like that, he put his head out of the carriage and said, "Good morning, sir," to Macaulay. He said good morning to him. And Macaulay also said good morning and he passed on. After a few yards he travelled away, that Macaulay turned back and looked. So, what did he see there? He saw the magistrate had stopped the carriage, got out of that, and he was paying obeisances to a Brahmana who was wearing such poor clothes, torn clothes, and he was standing there in the street, and he was paying obeisances on the road to this Brahmana. Macaulay says at that time, Brahmana was standing there with an umbrella on his... he was walking, he was passing through that way, isn't it? So, and he had one Srimad Bhagavatam on his, arm, and an umbrella in the arm, and he was wearing a dhoti, and he was standing there, and this magistrate has come out of the carriage, and paid obeisances to him on the street. Whereas he said good morning to him and he left him. Whereas here, he was willing to do that. So, the same person who put his head outside and said good morning to Macaulay has the next moment come out of the carriage and paid his obeisances to this Brahmana. And Macaulay saw this, he says at that time, in his letter to the authorities here at that time, that whatever amount of money you pay these people, but it will finish with one good morning, he says. Don't go further than that. He has written this, and it was published in the paper later. Because it's on memoirs, it's written. He mentions this. It will finish with that good morning, he said. It will not go further than that. Because the culture and the respect for the Vedam, Shastram, Brahmanyam is too deep rooted. Unless you take that out from them, they will not change, he said. And that is how different systems started after that. In a different way, everything started. That's history. So what does that indicate? That bhakti inside for Vedam and Shastram, similarly bhakti for the those personalities who are treading in that path, that's something very inborn. It won't be difficult to destroy that easily. Unless, therefore you have to first destroy that, to denigrate that. You know, that's what has happened much later, isn't it? So anyway, the important thing is to know that that is how that culture has survived that long, isn't it? So, Macaulay writes there at that time that unless they were told, those, that society, about how the Brahmanas were exploiting everybody else and create enmity in their heart towards the Brahmana. And similarly, their ancestors have actually cheated them. In that way, you have to educate them. Otherwise, it will never be possible to bring them under control. So they had done that. That is how the understanding of the Vedam, understanding of the Shastram in rest of the world is so poor about it, isn't it? They haven't got a clue what it is all about. All they're talking about is this, they try to denigrate that, speaking about in such a way, is it not? So, Krishna says here that the educational system was changed because of that. And that is how that got changed. In other words, that natural respect for Shastram, natural respect for the Brahmana, which was ingrained in the human society at that time, they went and destroyed that first. First thing, what was destroyed. So when we talk about paying respect to the Brahmana means, we have to understand it properly. What does that mean, isn't it? So normally we will criticize these things, because a lot of young people who does not understand that, they say this, that, oh, it's a caste system. The upper caste are exploiting the lower caste. In this way we unfortunately fell into that trap. Many people have fallen into that trap. And they say that it's all the history of exploitation. And if you look all over the world, is there any place where one group of people were not exploited by another group? Let them tell us that. Any place in this world where one group did not exploit the other? Capitalist exploits the labor. Is it not? In communist system also, exploitation goes on. Few people thrive on the cost of so many others. So this is something in the whoever has got power in the hand and whoever has got that money behind them or that kind of education to exploit others, they will exploit others that you can't avoid. This is not Vedic system. Those who have got power, those who have got money behind, and those who have got that kind of education to to exploit others. They will exploit others. This is what we have seen all over the world throughout history. It was never different, the story. And we have seen even in the spiritual organizations also, same thing happening. Because their exploitation was very much ingrained by the education they had. And also with the same money behind, and also with the power, authority behind, they used the authority, they used the money, and they used their education to exploit others. And they did it so well that the whole thing fell apart. That's the only reason. This is how things happen. We don't understand that. We think that, oh, everybody is a devotee, everybody is a devotee, we keep saying this. Why it is like this? It's happening. You got to analyze it a little bit more deeper, these things. Otherwise, we just get victimized by all kinds of situations. So this system, Varnashrama Dharmam and Vedam, did not allow this to happen, because in a very natural way, Brahmana, when he was talking, he was a first-class Brahmana. First-class Brahmana is not that person, who is very wealthy. Who is very wealthy. Or who has studied a lot. He is not the first-class Brahmana. First-class Brahmana is not the person who has studied a lot or who is very wealthy. That Brahmana is very fallen. That Brahmana is very fallen. Similarly, even in the... and it is those Brahmanas who have fallen who took to the modern education. And it is that Brahmana who left their traditions. And it is that Brahmana who completely destroyed the society. Because this is what happened. They are not the Brahmana what Krishna is talking about. Krishna is talking about, there was mentioned about this, that when all these things were going on, there were people who have studied Vedam and who had studied Shastram and who were living a very quiet life at home in a very simple way and practicing what they have learned. Practicing what they have learned. And there are, few of them are still there even today. And Krishna, when Brahmana Krishna is talking about, he's referring to those persons. He's referring to those persons. That means that Brahmana who has protected the Vedam. Who has protected the Vedam. How do you protect the Vedam? By studying Vedam and the Shastram. Isn't it? So, and he followed rigorously by the way of life what is instructed in the Shastram for the Brahmana to live. He followed that very strictly. And one who has got all that qualifications, Krishna is saying here, such Brahmana, one should pay the respects and one should pay their obeisances to that Brahmana. That is what Krishna is referring to here. So, and Krishna calls that as a tapasya. That calls it as a tapasya. So, Deva Dvija. Dvija is that Brahmana who has living that life in this world of a Brahmana life. It's a law to separate the grain from the chaff. There's a lot to do there. And unless our intelligence is not there, how to do it, you will just go with the sheep like everything else. Eh? That's no good, because Krishna is saying to us, this is how Shastram gets diluted every time. We don't look into the Shastram. We'll do because everybody is saying that this is a Brahmana, this is a Sannyasi, this is a Guru and all that. And we just go along with it without understanding what does it mean, all these things. So anyway, Krishna is saying here that the Guru, next one, Deva Dvija Guru. Guru and Prajna, two things he mentions there, isn't it? Guru and Prajna. So, you can see that Deva Dvija Guru Prajna, worshipable personalities, the spiritual master. Now, suppose an institution creates a lot of Brahmanas and Gurus and says to you that these are all the Brahmanas and the Gurus, and if you think that they are to be worshipped, then that means I have to take it or you have to take it, that in my brain it's all something wrong. It has to be based on the Shastram. And we have got that right to analyze it. That right we have got. Krishna has given us that right. To analyze somebody is a Brahmana or not. It's not somebody stamping someone as a Brahmana or somebody as a Guru. No. It has to be based on the Shastram, otherwise not. So that is what Krishna is saying here. Guru and Prajnam. So two things he says here, that one, you can accept a Guru based on the Shastram. Based on the Shastram you can accept him. When Krishna is saying here that Guru, when he is justly referring to here, one who helps you in your knowledge of the self, helping you in your advancement in spiritual realization, and or generally referring to the Guru Parambara. Guru Parambara. Guru Shabdastu, Gu Shabdastu Andhagarasya, Ru Shabdastu Nirodhaya. What does it mean? It means, Gu means that the darkness inside me, he is taking it away. I have a lot of misconceptions about life. I have a lot of misunderstanding about various things. Gu, referring to that person who is removing that misconceptions inside me. And Ru Shabdastu Nirodhaya. That Ru is a word that is used. He is completely blocking other things and taking that. So, so Andhagaratyadi Nirodhata Itarityadi Dhyade. Destroying that darkness inside me, that is what is referring to the Guru's position. In other words, that Ajnanam, Avidya inside. Why do we have Ajnanam? Because we didn't study Shastram. We didn't study Shastram. That's why Ajnanam is inside. We say this, Ajnanat Mirangasya Jnananjana Shalagaya Chakshurun Milidamyana Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama. Isn't it? Where is that coming from? Ajnanam is inside us, all of us. So, one who removes that Ajnanam inside and he is helping to develop that knowledge of the self inside, he is Guru. That Guru Parambara Krishna is saying here, one should always remember of the Guru Parambara. Because it comes from Krishna himself. Krishna is the origin of every Guru Parambara. All traditions comes from, origin is Krishna. Krishna is addressed as Narayana somewhere. Somewhere in another name. But Krishna is the origin. Vishnu is someplace called as Vishnu as the origin. Ramanuja Sampradayam begins from Vishnu. Gaudiya Sampradayam begins from Krishna. And Madhvacharya Sampradayam begins from Vishnu. Shankaracharya Sampradayam begins from Narayana. All Sampradayams begins from the same truth. Narayana, Vishnu, Krishna. Whichever way we address that. From there, a line of teachers have come. What is called as parambara. What is called as parambara. So that parambara will mention all the great personalities who have come in that. Through whom this message had flown all the way through. All the way through. So normally when we say that, we will say like this, that only those great realized souls, names will be mentioned. For example, look into Shankaracharya Sampradaya. Begins with Narayana. Narayana, from Narayana comes Brahma. From Brahma comes Vasishta. Vasishta comes, then comes Shakti. Shakti comes Parashara Maharshi. From Parashara comes Vedavyas. From Vedavyas comes Sukadeva Goswami. And then after Sukadeva Goswami comes Gaudavada Acharya. Then Govinda Bhagavad Pada. And then Shankaracharya. Up to, like this, his parambara. And then from him, remaining others have come since then on. Sadashiva Samarambam Shankaracharya Madhyamam Asmadacharya Paryantam Vande Guru Parambara. The Guru Parambara, we pay our respects to them. Because through them, this knowledge of the self, Krishna has spoken, and it flowed through them right up to this today. And therefore, in that respect for that parambara, and the same thing in our, if you look into the Gaudiya Vaishnava Parambara also, you will see the same thing mentioned. Prabhupada mentions the lineage through whom parambara has come. Parambara has come. Is it not mentioned in the... You can see evam paramparapato evam radrishyo vedu krishna brahma narada vyasa madhva padmanabha nagari madhava akshobhya jayatirtha jnana sindhu dhayanidhi vidyanidhi rajendra jayadharma purushottama brahmanyatirtha vyasatirtha lakshmivadi maghavendra puri ishwara puri. So right up to this 21 is madhvacharya's parampara of the Lord Chaitanya, and from through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came Rupa, Raghunath, Jiva, Krishnadas, Narottama, Vishwanath, Jagannath Das Babaji, Bhakti Vinod, Gaurakishore Das Babaji, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati and Srila Prabhupada. So, like this, there is a parampara working with various parampara, various sampradayas, isn't it? So, Krishna is saying to us, though Deva Dvija Guru Prajna, offering our respects to the parampara, it is important. It is through them that Krishna is saying here, and to travel through that path, what they have shown to us. What they have shown to us. And instructions, what they have given to us, pursue that. So, this is what Krishna refers to as Guru Prajna. Because what spiritual master wants us to do, we should do that. And it's not good enough if you just offer some flowers to the spiritual master every day. That's not good enough. But like we do for the deities, we offer some flowers in the same way. Important thing is, worshipping the form of the Guru, more important than that, that what Guru has given us, taking that seriously. For example, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, what Srila Prabhupada has given us, taking that and sticking to that, understanding and living that life, Krishna says that it is Brahmayajna. It is Brahmayajna. Because Shastram is inaccessible in many instances. So in it is that situation, sticking to the Shastram through the Guru Parampara is an important thing. For example, offering flowers to the spiritual master, that is Nitya Anushtana. That is a Nitya Anushtana. But offering respect to him is a part of the culture, samskaram. It's a part of the samskaram. And that is necessary. And therefore, whatever path the spiritual master has shown to us, to travel, tread in that path. That understanding we have to get it from the books what they have given to us, and also always to stick to that path, not to deviate from it. So that is the greater worship than anything else. So sometimes if you move away from that and go into other things and start doing different things, then it will not be considered very nice. That's why sometimes disciples can be a real problem also. Some spiritual masters are frightened about their disciples. Because they have not cultivated the proper behavior within themselves, how to deal with the, and they will say that I want to do some service, and then they will go. And they will go and create a lot of trouble after that. So, Vidya Prakashananda Swamiji, he used to say about this, a guru, I think I mentioned this before, a guru had one disciple, and every day he used to massage his leg, this disciple. So, after a while, a second disciple came. So, but these two disciples won't agree each other. they're quarreling and fighting each other. And they will talk to each other about their seniority. One will tell, I'm senior, you're junior. So I have the higher authority than you. Like we see that every time, isn't it? So the second disciple who had come later, he said to the spiritual master, he raised the issue, you're only allowing your first disciple to massage your feet, you should allow me also to massage your feet. So Guru thought about this. He thought at least he can settle the argument between the two. He told them, you can sit on either side, you massage my right leg and you can massage my left leg, he said. And he thought that with this the problem will be sorted out. Problem will be sorted out. So one day it so happened, Guru says to him that when the right leg, the disciple, senior disciple, who was massaging the right leg, by mistake his hand touched the left leg, which the other junior disciple was massaging. So immediately the junior disciple got very upset with the senior disciple, and he says to him, they started an argument that you are breaking the my rights and you are interfering in my affairs, this, that and the other. So when it became very, argument became very fierce between them, the spiritual master asked him, what are you fighting about like this, he said. So they told that, don't interfere in our business. The disciple says to the guru, we can manage ourselves, we don't want any external interference. So spiritual master, who was trying to take some rest, sleeping at this time and they were massaging, he say, we saw these two have taken properly into physical fight between the two of them. So finally they took this roller for making chapatis. They've taken that out and start beating up each other. All that things have happened. So important thing to hear is to notice this. Devotee, these disciples are saying, this is our private affair. We don't need any external involvement. So although for jokingly spoken like this, that sannyasi Vidya Prakashananda, he mentions this, that this is what is going on in the world today. A lot of places. This is what is going on. I am bigger than you, I am more important than you. And Guru Bhujanam, worshipping the spiritual master in that way, is meant for removing this ajnanam or avidya from inside. So Guru has instructed something, mantram, upadesham, that has to be chanted. The mantra has to be chanted. If he has given instructions in the jnanamargam, then he must engage in the jnanavicharam, self-inquiry, and should be get established in the self itself. And if he has given instructions in the bhakti process, then you should travel in that bhakti process, and whichever way the spiritual master has instructed, that path one should follow. That is what Krishna is saying here. And if it is service to the spiritual master is concerned, he says with a lot of attention and devotion, it should be executed, considering that you are actually serving Krishna with that mood. If it is done like that, it is all tapasya. It's all tapasya. That means without expectation of any results, and not even expecting any recognition from the face of the spiritual master, if one does that, that is tapasya. What Krishna is saying to us is, all these things, only if it is done properly, it becomes tapasya. In sattvikam way, sattvika way. Often that is where things go wrong. People want to do service, but when the service is done, it's done in the rajasic way or the tamasic way. And that is what Krishna is pointing out here, to avoid that situations. So we'll have a short break and then continue.
Chedo darpanamajanam bhamaha lavadmiruvavanam shreyakaito chandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandamudivandanam pradivada poonavada swadhanam sarvatna subhanam param vijayade shri krishna sangirtanam Namrāmadāri bhadānaja sarva-shakti patrāpidāmeme dāsvaranena kālam yatādrśītava kṛpā bhagavan mamāki nurdaiva medrśanihā janināni yāgavā തൃണമാലക്ഷ്മീചേന കരോറഭി സഹിഷ്ണുന അമാനിനാമാനദേന ചിർത്തനീയ സദാഹരി നദനം നദനം ന സുന്ദരീം കവിതാം വാ ജഗദീശകാമയേ മമ ജന്മനി ജന്മനീശ്വരി ഭവതാ ഭക്തിരഹേ തുമി ത്വയേ ുധാരയാദനംഗലരുദ്ധയാഗിരുളകേർമിതം കഥാവഹൂത്തവഗ്രഹണേ ഭവിഷ്യതി യുഗായുധം നിമേഷേണ ചക്ഷുഷാ പ്രാവിശായുധം ശൂന്യായുധം ജഗത്സർവം ഗോവിന്ദ വിരഹേണ മേ
ഗുരുപ്രാജ്ഞ പൂജനം ശൗചം ആർജവം ബ്രഹ്മചര്യം അഹിംസ ച ശരീരം തപ ഉച്യതെ ദാറ്റ്സ് വാട്ട് വി ആർ ടോക്കിംഗ് അബൌട്ട് സോ ഇഫ് യു ലുക്ക് ഇൻ ടു ദ സം ഓഫ് ദ ഗ്രേറ്റ് സോൾസ് ഹൗ ദേ ഹാഡ് ഷോൺ ദേർ ദിസ് ദേവദ്വിജ ഗുരു പ്രാജ്ഞ ഏകനാഥ് സ്വാമി ഫോർ എക്സാമ്പിൾ ഇൻ മഹാരാഷ്ട്ര ഹി ഈസ് എ ഗ്രേറ്റ് പേഴ്സണാലിറ്റി 12 years he served his spiritual master Janardana Swami. Ekanath served his spiritual master Janardana Swami for 12 years. When he was 12 years old, little boy, 12 years old, he left home and ran away from home and went straight to this Janardan Pant, that was his name. And all stotrams or kirtan what Ekanath has written, he will finish that kirtan Eka Janardani. That was his, I am Janardani, Janardana's disciple I am. That was so fixed inside him. So 12 years he served Janardana, the spiritual master, without expectation of any results. And it is an amazing story of his relationship with the spiritual master. Janardana Swami was a highly realized soul, his teacher. He was not only a realized soul, he was a yogi as well. What kind of yogi? Because he was actually a military officer in those days, whoever the king was ruling at that time. And in the day he was a military officer, in the night he was in the samadhi state. He was always in the samadhi state. And in the morning when he comes out of the samadhi, then he could go and do his duty, whatever that he had to do in the army, because he was an officer. Sometimes it's difficult to understand. Some self-realized souls, jnanis, their life is very interesting to look at, and if you want to analyze them. Because everybody, you can't say they were Swamijis in that way. Different, those devotees who appeared in Maharashtra at that time, in that bhakti tradition, particularly during the time from Jnaneshwar's time onwards, talking about 1200 AD, about 800-900 years ago, this tradition was there. Many great personalities came, propagated bhakti at that time, isn't it? So, all of them belonged to different trades. They did different things in life. Somebody was a grocer, groceries, business he did. Someone was a cobbler. Someone else was a weaver, weaving clothes. And somebody did daily labor. But realized souls, all of them. But different occupations. Someone else was a gardener, grew vegetables. So, why did this happen? Because this is the story of ordinary people, and it became very powerful. Because other people were able to understand that it is possible to practice spiritual life, whatever may be the occupation is. Whatever occupation it is. Because For example, if you see big personalities, big spiritual personalities coming from very high background, ordinary people will say, oh, we cannot do that. That's only for possible for them. We can't do it. This will be our immediate reaction. Ordinary people like us, that's what we will think about it, isn't it? But the importance of the saints in Maharashtra was, they all had different occupations, which the common man had, that kind of occupations, like as I said, grocers, cobblers and weavers and daily laborers and gardeners and things like that. They did all these different occupations, but at the same time, they were all very realized souls as well. Very simple. So, and this is the reason why the bhakti process developed much better in Maharashtra than anywhere else, because of this. Maharashtra, you will see that they had their Varkari Sampradayam and so many great, great devotees. They, because they came from the ordinary person's background, or common man, were very much affected by that. And this is the reason Bhakti Devi has given the special blessings to Maharashtra, that Bhakti grew up very much in Maharashtra. Maharashtra. And so therefore, because ordinary people is easy able to identify with them very easily when they see that, is it not? Ordinary people is easy to identify with. So they start thinking they are like us, they do the same work as we do, and they belong to our traditions as well. So in all circumstances, this one thing will be in all of us. This one problem will be in all of us. No matter how much you study the Shastram, and any amount of Shastram, ultimately, if somebody comes in front of you who is like you and stand in front of you, only then you will take it seriously. This is the difficulty. Even if you study all the books, but ultimately you find someone from your own background or from your own friends or social structure, somebody like you comes in front of you and start presenting to you the conclusion of the Shastram, then you will accept it. Otherwise you won't accept it. This, otherwise you will say, yes, I've heard all that, who knows what. But if someone who has taken it very seriously and who has practiced it in life, so that is the weakness of our heart. So therefore Krishna is saying here, this situation, that's why you can see that they use the parrot to say the stories, isn't it? In Puranam you will see using a parrot to tell the stories, or or they'll keep a mirror in front of the parrot and show it to us that so this nature is a human nature. It's a human nature. He wants to find someone who is very much like that, like me. I have to find somebody like that. So 12 years, our Ekanath Swami performed service to Janardana. And what did he do? He used to, because those days it was not big institutions like that, the ashram where Janardana was living, he used to clean up the whole place, bring the water from the river, flowers for him for the worship, and he used to cook for him and do all the work in the kitchen, everything. So after many years, Janardana Swami noticed once that Ekanath is working very hard whole day. And in the night as well, late in the night, Ekanath used to sit down and keep all the accounts of the money, what he had, what money was spent, so that he could present it to Janardana anytime when he wanted. So often Janardana Swami told Ekanath, you should go and sleep then late in the night, seeing his his service nature. So, but Ekanath didn't go to sleep. He will say, I have little more work to do. And he used to stay up very late. So, one day he thought like this. Morning, in the early morning, Ekanath used to go to Godavari River to bring water for Janardana Swami. Janardana at that time thought that many people had come to me to study Shastram. They come, studied Shastram and they have gone. Afterwards they left. But this Ekanath's case is a little different. Ekanath hasn't studied anything till now. He was only doing this, all these services. Cleaning, washing, cooking and bringing water, flowers and all the physical service he was doing all this time. And he has never asked me anything either. He has never asked anything about Shastram, questions about the Vedantam. No discussions have happened so far. But day and night he has been working like this. He has been doing his service. And I am obliged for that. He felt like that. Janardana Swami felt like that. So, this movement that happens in the heart of a realized soul is very important. Of a realized soul. If his heart moves like this, when somebody serves him, and if the movement happens in his heart in that way, that is a very important thing. It's more important than studying all the Shastram, everything. Because this is why the system was set up like that. Gurukula system comes from that, isn't it? So, at some point in time, without even the knowledge of the Guru himself, his heart starts melting for the sake of the disciple. The love from the heart of the spiritual master flows to the disciple without his own knowledge because of the service rendered by the disciple. So that means the spiritual master must be self-realized and the disciple's service should be so pure that it has the power to melt the heart of the spiritual master, and without his own knowledge, it flows freely to him. That is his grace and that is Krishna. That is Krishna. And that movement, which they call it as wireless transfer of from inside, in the yogis call it a Shakti Bhagam, a sudden burst of power flowing from the teacher to the disciple. And what happened at that time, Janardana Swami, who was Shakti Bhagam yogis call it. So Janardana Swami, who was sitting there for doing his deity worship, he felt an unusual flow of love from his heart towards Ekanath at that moment. And when he felt that, the form he worshipped, Janardana Swami worshipped, was Dattatreya. In Maharashtra, Dattatreya is worshipped very much. It's an incarnation of Vishnu, Dattatreya incarnations. So Janardana Swami did was, Ekanath has gone to fetch water from the river. Here, Janardana Swami is doing the deity worship. So, he said to Dattatreya, you should give your darshanam to Ekanath. Please give darshanam to Ekanath. A sudden feeling of love for Ekanath happened in his heart at that moment. And Ekanath must receive your darshanam. He said like that. So, when that thing happened in Janardana Swami's heart, Janardana Swami knew that at this very moment Ekanath will have the darshanam of Dattatreya at the river bank where he was there. At the very moment it should happen to him. That was his wish, which was desire. These things are normal in the tradition of the yogis and the sannyasis. These things do happen in the ancient times, so many incidents like this. So this word called Shaktipadam means that the moment when this potency of the spiritual master, who is a realized person,
And from him, a special power flows directly to the disciple. And he knows very well that the person who has experienced it, he will get the message that this is the grace or mercy of the my spiritual master. He will know that. And the person who has given it and the person who has received it, both of them will know that grace. The one where the source where it came from and the person who has experienced it, both of them will. So Janardana knew this, that he must have got it now. So sure he was about that. And Ekanath, what happened to him was that Ekanath went to the river and after did all wash, he had washed his clothes also, and then collected water for his worship, he bathed himself and he came back to the ashram. When he came back, he didn't say anything to Janardana Swami. Went back to the kitchen, started his work in the usual way, boiling the milk and preparing things for him. And so Janardana Swami thought, after he had his darshan, Ekanath had the darshan, he may be delayed because he may sit in that samadhi state of seeing the Tathagata Maharshi directly. He may be staying there, he may not come back. But to his great surprise, Ekanath was not delayed at all. He has come in the usual time, as normal what he does. He finished all his activities at the river and he had come back on time. Whereas he was expecting to be delayed everything because of this experience, isn't it? So, you can imagine, normally people, when they had some spiritual experience like that, they will be completely shocked by that, isn't it? You will immediately get affected by that. Or sometimes people collapse even because of the excitement behind it. So, Krishna here, what saying to us is, that this Dattatreya form is a combination of Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu and Lord Shiva. So, when you have received a darshanam of a form like that, and Janardana Swami thinking that form itself will be perhaps give a lot of excitement to Ekanath Swami, and he was expecting some delay in everything. But when Ekanath Swami turned up correctly at the right time and never mentioned about this experience what he had at the riverbank, and when he walked inside as the usual way, same peaceful nature with in a very happy state, came back and started doing things and started cooking and brought things for his deity worship. So Janardana got a doubt in his mind. What has happened? Called him. Ekanath, come here, he said. And he says to Ekanath, did you go to Godavari River? Ekanath said, yes. Did you perform your Sandhya Vandanam? The Sandhya Vandanam means that what they have to do three times a day, the Brahmanas. So he asked him, have you done that? He said, yes, I've done that. Have you had any special darshanam of anything? He said, yes. What darshanam did you have? He said, Dattatreya's darshanam I had. Janardana Swami says to him, what is this? That lot of people in this world are waiting for this darshanam, of Dattatreya's darshanam, isn't it? And you are telling me as though nothing has happened, as an ordinary thing. Such a simple way you are putting it to me, that you had darshanam, so what? That's your attitude. Why is it like that? He says to him. So, what did you do after that? He says to him. He said, I just saw Dattatreya Maharshi and I stood there watching that for a while. But then I told him that I have to go. He says to him, so why? He said, no, I have to boil the milk for the offering. And also, I have so many other things to do for my teacher, spiritual master. So you can imagine what Ekanath Swami is thinking about his spiritual master, Janardana Swami. That Guru Bhakti in the heart. Krishna is saying here, Deva Dvija Guru Prajna.
That is that Virabhakti. That surrender inside. Nothing else in this world is important. There are so many stories like this in the different traditions. Ramanuja Sampradayam also, Shankaracharya's traditions also. So Janardana says to him that I have come, he says to, Ekanath says to Janardana that I have to do this service first before everything else. So Janardana asked him, did you not feel like staying in that meditative state when you saw Dattatreya Maharshi? Ekanath says to him, did I ask you any time before to give this darshanam to me? I have not asked for it, did I? He says to Ekanath says to Janardana Swami, and I have never desired that even, that I want to see the Dattatreya form, or Vishnu form, or Shiva's form. I never desired in my life, and I never asked for it. And I never said that I want darshanam of any form either. And because right in front of me, I'm always seeing that form, referring to Janardana. So to such an extent, Ekanath has accepted Janardana as the spiritual guru. And Krishna says in the Bhagavadam, Alpano Guru Alpaiva, Purushasya Visheshada, Pratyakshena Anumanabhyam, Shreyasam Anuvindade. What does it indicate? Indicates to us, Ekanath was a personality who has actually released Ekadashaskandam and the message in the Ekadasham, what Krishna has spoken about the spiritual master. That particular words, Alpano Guru Alpaiva Purushasya Visheshada, Pratyakshena Anumanabhyam, Shreyasam Anuvindade. Practically one who has realized it in life, that is Ekanath. This one verse, Alpano Guru Almaiva. That I am seeing right outside me, the Antaryami inside Krishna, in the form of this spiritual master. And this has become his realization. He is saying, when I have that realization, why should I have another darshanam? What do I need that for? This was Ekanath's question to him. So, it is at that time, and he says, that I'm always seeing you 24 hours. So then I don't need another form to notice now. And Janardana, seeing that Ekanath's realizations, put both his hands on his head and blessed him and told him like this, that that Ekanath, you are as much like an ocean. Ocean never overflows, isn't it? Always full. Similarly, you are so full, he says to him. And no matter what happens, the ocean never gets dried up. Similarly, you will never get dried up. This is what Krishna is talking in the Bhagavad Gita. If you look in the second chapter, Apuryamanam Ajala Pratishtam, there is a verse in the second chapter. I think it is the last verse or last but one. Second chapter. Krishna gives that as the as a example of a person who has matured, yes, 70. Abhuryamanam achala pratishtam samudra mapa pravishandi yadvad tadvad kamayam pravishandi sarve sashandi mapnodina kama kami. Abhuryamanam achala pratishtam samudramava pravishandi yadvad tadvad kamamyam pravishandi sarve sa shandim apnodina kamakami. Ekanath Swami state, a person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires, that enters like rivers into the ocean, which is ever being filled but is always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. That state of consciousness in Ekanath. Just imagine that. No desires and so stable inside. Spiritual master in front of him, seeing him as Antaryami who has manifested externally. So this is what he says to him, that so the same Ekanath who have seen Janardana Swami day and night and spent time with him, he had a different experience much later. After several years, what happened to him, that I mentioned yesterday also, that he was, yesterday or the day before, I can't remember, that he went to Gomukh to bring water to perform the Abhishek for Shiva and Rameshwar. And he brought water all the way there, and when the donkey was feeling thirsty, he poured the whole water, which he has brought all the way from Gomukh, right up to Rameshwaram. Before that, there is a small desert area where this donkey was dying. He poured the whole water, what the Gangadhartham, into the mouth of that donkey. He did that, isn't it? So, after this incident, he went to Rameshwaram, and then he is coming back to his village in Maharashtra. At that time, the Eganath has not married at that time. So his grandfather goes to, he was not listening to the grandfather. So what he thought was, he'll go and talk to the Janardana Swami about it. So grandfather goes to Janardana Swami and talks to him, says that Eganath has to get married because he is the only child in our parampara. We have told him to get married. So Sri, please put some pressure on him, write him a letter or something. So Janardana Swami wrote a letter to get married and gave it to his grandfather, Eganath Swami's grandfather. And then immediately Eganath accepted without any objection. He married a girl called Girijabai later, and Janardana Swami even told him, marry this girl. He married her without any questioning. He married her. This was Eganath. Whatever he has spoken, it's absolute as far as he is concerned. Not thinking good or bad, no discussion, negotiations, nothing. Accepted as it is. Because anything, if spiritual master tells me something, it must be for my benefit. That's firm faith in the words of the spiritual master. Accepting everything as prasadam from the spiritual master. So, and later on, this Girijabai turned out to be a great, great help for Eganath in his spiritual life. So, Eganath became a householder. He became taponishtan, fully fixed in the tapasya, jnananishtan, fixed in the knowledge, everything. So, it is that if you will see so many things mentioned about this in the commentary on Ekadasha Skandam by Eganath Swami. So, that Eganath Swami's commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, Ekadasha Skandam, although written in Marathi, it has been translated to almost all the languages in India. For one reason only, it's coming from a realized person, complete total realization. And he, one day, while he was discussing Srimad Bhagavatam somewhere, far away from there, Janardana Swami left his body. And all songs, when he wrote Eka Janardani, he will mention like this. Eganath Swami is a disciple of Janardani. He has written this song, he will conclude it that way. So, 12 years he served the spiritual master, and never expected anything from Janardana Swami, the sincere service what he has rendered to him. Finally, he told him, you go and stay at home after getting married and live your householder life. He sat at home for some time. So when he was talking Srimad Bhagavatam, he used to speak at home Srimad Bhagavatam, and many other persons who used to listen to Eganath Swami, Srimad Bhagavatam, because he was so realized about the Ekadasham's knowledge, isn't it? So, when he was discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, this message came about the death of the spiritual master. So, those who were present there, they knew his Guru Bhakti, Bhakti of Eganath to Janardana Swami. So, such a devotee very difficult to find. And if we go and tell Eganath that spiritual master has left his body, how will he feel it at the middle of this Bhagavatam lecture? So they were hesitating to go and tell him this, isn't it? Because as far as he is concerned, even Krishna is not important. Spiritual master is more important than anything else. So finally they informed him. They wrote in a piece of paper and just passed it on to him. When he was talking about Ekadasha Skandam in the assembly of so many people. So he read that message and then he went back to Ekadasham again. Started talking Ekadasha Skandam without no change at all, no change at all in the face or in the tone, or never gave an impression even something has happened in life, which has altered his life, and started continuing talking about from Bhagavatam. So this, when this incident happened, he continued with Bhagavatam in such a way, and the disciples could not understand, who were present there, who were listening to him. They told him, finally, that to Ekanath Swami, that we have never seen somebody like you who had such a tremendous devotion to the spiritual master. But why is that? Now your spiritual master has left his body. There is no change in you. We would have expected that you would have felt a little bit disturbed or distressed about it. Sometimes you would have cried or felt sorry about the whole thing, but nothing has happened. You are staying here as it is. And Ekanath's reply at that time, Ekanath says to him that, he says, if a spiritual master dies, he is not a spiritual master. Spiritual master never dies. And if a disciple, and hearing that, if the disciple is crying, then that disciple is not a disciple. What does it indicate? It's telling us that the science of spiritual life, we have to understand it properly. And that you can only understand from personalities like him. Death, crying and lamentation, this is all for the bodily, when you are in the bodily identity. Once we go up, those who have gone up in this, they do not cry. They can't cry because inside the realization of Atma. How can Atma die? That's the first thing you learn in the Bhagavad Gita. Is it not? The first thing we learn in the Bhagavad Gita is what? That Atma has no death. If it has realized inside, then you won't cry about it. And that is what he was saying. That if you think that the spiritual master is dead, that means you have accepted him as the body, first thing. And if you are crying that, that means you have not understood Shastram also. See, important thing, but when the death of spiritual master happens, and if you are crying, oh, my spiritual master died, that means you have not understood what is spiritual master. And then, you have not understood what is spiritual master. And the spiritual master never die, because guru principle is this. Krishna is manifesting, that is why that verse Krishna spoken in the Bhagavatam to Uddhava. Alpano guru alpaiva. Purushasya visheshada pratyakshena anumanabhyam shreyasam anuvindade. We have to reflect these things, and these things must become our realization at some point in time. Otherwise, what's the point in reading Bhagavatam? So he says to him, if somebody thinks that my spiritual master is dead now, that means that he is not a spiritual master. But he thinks like that. And if he is crying after hearing about the death of his spiritual master, then he is not a disciple either. He is neither a guru. If a guru has created that feeling in a disciple, that I am going to die or I am dead and gone, and the disciple is feeling like that, then he is not a guru. Because that is the duty of the spiritual master, not to create that, because that is realization, isn't it? So, and if the disciple also start crying afterwards, thinking that spiritual master has left, then he has not understood Shastram either. So, guru cannot die, that is the first thing. So, because guru tattvam is eternal, it is nitya tattvam, isn't it? It has no birth or death, it is neither birth nor death, it is akhanda vastu. Akhanda means unbroken, it is. Unbroken it is. So, personality, Ekanath, when he served his spiritual master, It is with this understanding he is doing the service. Fully inside this, isn't it? So, it so happened that one young boy came to serve Ekanath in his old age. And similarly, you can see finally that so 12 years he served, this boy served Ekanath. Finally, he went to Dwaraka. He went to Dwaraka and he engaged in Krishna service in Dwaraka. And he got ill finally in his last days. He got sick in his body. And in a one Brahmana came up to in the Brahmana's dress. In dream, he came up and told him that I am serving in Ekanath's house. In serving in Ekanath's house, that this boy who had come, this young boy who was serving him for 12 years, Ekanath, and then he went back to Dwaraka, where he was serving Krishna. That boy wanted to see Krishna. Wanted to see Krishna. So in his dream he appeared and he told, Krishna said to that boy, you can go to Ekanath's place and you will see me there. So one day that Brahmana came there and his name is mentioned as Kanya Krishna. Then so many incidents happened. He comes back to see Ekanath and there he gets the darshanam of Krishna there in Ekanath's presence. So, this Brahmana who was living in Dwaraka at that time, he comes to, this is the time when that boy was serving Ekanath. This is when this happened. Brahmana from Dwaraka came. Brahmana was told in this dream, Krishna told him, that if you want to see me, you should go and see Ekanath. You will see me there. So when he came to see Ekanath Swami, he saw this boy serving Ekanath, but saw the boy as Krishna, not as Ekanath's disciple, rather as Krishna serving Ekanath. So it so happened that when he went inside, he could not see him, inquired about him many places. It was at that time, these 12 years of service this boy has done, Krishna has done, served Ekanath there in this dress of a boy. So, so whatever service Ekanath has done to Janardana Swami, Krishna has done to Ekanath at the old age. Krishna to Ekanath at the old age. Just see that relationships, purity of the relationships among them. So, it is like this. However we serve Krishna, Krishna knows that, Upanishad says like this, that whichever way you do the upasana, accordingly Brahmam reciprocates. Brahmam reciprocates. Taittiriya Upanishad says like this. Similarly, whichever way you reciprocate, you serve Brahmam or upasana, in other words, accordingly Brahmam reciprocates the same service. So, Krishna is also like that. Brahmam is Krishna. Purna Brahmam is Krishna. So, Krishna is, whatever we do, more than that, Krishna reciprocates through his service. Guru, he served his spiritual master 12 years, and those 12 years, Krishna has come and served Ekanath in the guise of that young boy. So, when these things happen, Ekanath did not know that it is Krishna. Krishna will keep that confidential. But service will continue, isn't it? So, if you say this to somebody, our intelligence will give some explanation to that in a different way. In bhakti, this is important. We have to accept this with its full understanding that shastram and bhakti and the experience of the realized souls is more important for us than the intelligence and the logic and the analysis of the mundane people. So, so there are so many scenes like this happened in many, many great personalities like this. What I am saying this is, that when Krishna is saying here, that
Devadvija Guru Pratnya Pujanam Shaucham Arjavam Brahmacharyam Ahimsacha Shariram Tapamuchyate. So when the Sharira Tapas, that is what was Ekanath's strength, the tapas of the Shariram, disciplined life, always in service in respect to the spiritual master, which is a tapas, isn't it? It's a Sharirika Tapas, that is, bodily tapas, service to the spiritual master, which he executed perfectly, and the result was everything in spiritual life, what has to happen, has happened to him. Self-realization happened. All the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam was so clear to him. And the presence of Krishna happened to him. He had the vision of the Krishna as well later. So you can see that Ekanath's life, if you look at, he hasn't had much education in Shastram or anything. Only through this incident, Devadvija Guru Pratnya, Pujanam Shaujam Arjavam, that was his qualifications. So this verse is a representation of Ekanath's life, in other words. So, in life it is like that. Sometimes we make arrangements that somebody will look after us at the time of death and things like that. People are always making plans, isn't it? It's a very wrong nature to, Krishna is saying, to indicating to us that. In many, many holy places, if you go, there are still devotees, they have left it to Krishna. Whomever they are worshipping, they left it completely to Krishna to decide how my end should be, how I am going to leave this world, isn't it? And they know very well that completely from unexpected quarters, somebody will come at that time to do that help or service to us. And we may not think about it very much at that time. Why is he coming and giving this service to me? But even if somebody asks, he won't be able to answer that question. So all of this is, Krishna is saying, tapasya. Deva Dvija Guru. So Guru Paricharanam, it is an example of that, this Ekanath Swami's life in this world. There are many others who have similarly done service to the spiritual master. So Pratnya means that Pratnyana is a seer, Devadvija Guru Pratnya, Pujanam Shaujam Arjun. Pratnya means liberated souls, Jivan Muktas, in other words. Because those people are not necessarily be spiritual masters, but great personalities, and whichever sampradayam or tradition they have come to this world, but they are realized souls, mahalmas, and if you see them anywhere, or if you get any relationship with them in by any means, if we take to the or respect for them, or other or respect for them, then that is helpful in spiritual life. That's what Krishna is saying. That's what word Pratnya means. He said Deva means the deity whom you are worshipping. Dvija is the Brahmana. One has to show respect to the Brahmana, what Krishna has spoken. Then Guru, the spiritual master. Then Pratnya. Pratnya means this. Realized to souls, but they have not taken the position of a Guru or Acharya or anything like that. But they are liberated. They are liberated souls. And wherever if we see them, Mahalmas or any of them, if you offer worship to them, then that Krishna says it's beneficial. In Valmiki Ramayanam, you will see this. Lord Ramchandra goes to the forest, isn't it? And when he's going to the forest, they asked him, what for are you going? He says, I'll get an opportunity to see so many rishis in the forest. He mentions there, this is my greatest happiness, he says in life. I'll get this opportunity to see the rishis. Agastya, Bharadwaj, and many others he mentions there, Atri, and
and Angiras. So many rishis, they have been living in the forest, with their built their own cottages and engaged in tapasya there. Ramachandra says, I'll get an opportunity to see all these people. And he goes there and pays his respects to everybody. Ramachandra does this to show to us that it is beneficial to us. Of course. So when he, in one instance, he says, when he came to the Dandakaranyam forest, there he mentions there, like in Aranyakandam. Aranyakandam is the, his journey through the forest. Aranyam is forest. So through Aranyakandam, if you read, there's a whole canto in the Ramayana, which talks about his journey through the forest. Pravishedu Maharanyam, Dandakaranyam Almavan, Ramo, Dashadu Dasharha, Tavasashrama Mandalam. He says like this. Tavasashrama Mandalam, he says, it's a cluster of the rishis, different ashram, sages. One after the other, is a group of these rishis living there. And Ramachandra goes to each one of those ashrams and pays his respects to the rishis. And Ramachandra says he enjoyed it very much. Rather than staying in Ayodhya in the palace, he says, each and every ashram he got, went in and met up with the rishis who were present there and paid his respects. That is what that Prajna Pujanam. What Krishna is saying there? Deva Dija Guru Prajna Pujanam. Deva Pujanam, Dija Pujanam, Guru Pujanam, Prajna Pujanam. All the four things, isn't it? And one after the other, he moved from one ashram to the other. After a long time, when he finished many ashrams like this, Sita Devi says to Ramachandra, why you are holding this bow and arrow in the hand still? What for? He says to him, throw it away, he said. She says to him, because bow and arrow means that it's a sign of violence, isn't it? That, and you are visiting all these rishis, and but why hold this bow and arrow? So that is the effect of Salsangam, power of Salsangam. Sita Devi says to him, and Sita Devi says to Ramachandra, let me speak two words. Ramachandra says, carry on. And she says to him, that look at this, we have come few days ago to this forest, and look at Ramachandra, look at these rishis, what a divine life they are leading. They are spiritual tapashakti. Look at them. She says to Ramachandra, to idam amrutam prapashahu. This life itself is nectar. She says like that. And we don't want to go back to Ayodhya and start all that politics there, what was going on. Because it was politics what was going on there, wasn't it? So, let somebody rule Ayodhya, what does it matter? Let us live here in the association of these great sages and engage in the austerities, what they were doing here. So let us throw away that bow and arrow, Sita Devi says to Ramachandra. Ramachandra smiles and says to Sita Devi, if somebody hears what you have told to me now, the first question they will ask will be, are you the daughter of Janaka? This question will naturally come. Why? Why did Ramachandra say that? Janaka, whole family, not only Janaka is a family name, there's a individual has their own names, all the family members in that tradition, parampara, all of them were realized souls. Isn't it in the Bhagavadam? That is a special title given to Janaka. Householders, they were kings, but they were all realized souls. So when Sita Devi, if you say like this, Ramachandra says to Sita Devi, if anybody hears this, the first thing they will say will be, are you Janaka's daughter? Because nobody else can speak like this. No other princess will speak in this way, except Janaka's daughter. Only in Janaka's family, this tradition is so strong. This is what he was saying. So he says to him, they will say that we know that you are Janaka's daughter. Even without you, declaring by seeing this nature in you. And finally, they go to see Agastya Maharshi in the forest. They go to see Agastya Maharshi, and that is where near Godavari River. That's where Agastya Maharshi in Panchavati, that's where he is meeting him. And Prajnavandanam, it is called as Prajnavandanam. So even when different incarnations, when Krishna has taken this form as Ramachandra, even at that time, he is showing to us that this is necessary in life, worshipping the rishis and the sages. And the one thing he has spoken about, that Ramachandra has spoken, and Siddha Devi also said that, if they ask anyone, ask why you are carrying these weapons, it's not considered to be one of the wrong things to do, carry weapons. Means, if you have a weapon, you'll be tempted to use it. Is it not? So, so Siddha Devi says this to him, and the rishis may talk about it. So Ramachandra says that, rishis are saying that Rakshasas are sometimes giving trouble to them, to the rishis. And they create some obstacles for their penances. And they have told me that I should give protection for them. So Ramachandra says, only for that purpose I carry this with me, otherwise I don't need it anymore. So, I have come to this forest, he says to the rishis, to give you help also, in whichever way I can. And he gave that guarantee to the rishis who are present there. It is at that time Siddha Devi says to him that if someone has no enmity towards us, we should not develop any enmity towards them, is it not? Give up all the weapons. He says to Siddha Devi says to Ramachandra, we don't need all these things. Let us also live like the rishis here. They have no enmity towards anybody. They have no weapons either. And saying this, Siddha Devi tells a story to Ramachandra about it. Siddha Devi says a story to Ramachandra. What is that story? Story is like this. A sage was performing penances in the forest. Penances in the forest. Indra saw that. And Indra saw that his tapas is getting very strong. But I can't let him go on like this, because tomorrow you don't know what his intentions are. He may take away my position. So he wanted to, that is normal Indra, with Indra, isn't it? You'll see all through Puranas, Indra has got this business. So Indra says to him that somehow or the other I have to disturb him from his austerities. So first he said that normally what he said is got this upstairs women, Urvashi, Rambha, Tilottama, Menaka and many others there, and he sends them to come and dance and all that. So there's no need for all these things, Indra thought. Indra himself, dressed up like a Brahmana, comes to see this Rishi, this who was performing the penances. And he brought a small knife with him, a small knife, and told him that handed over it to him, to this Muni who was Rishi was performing penances, gave it to him and told him, keep this with you, it may come useful for you sometime, but I will come and collect it later, just keep it for myself, he said, and keep it for a few days. So he kept this knife with him, and the Rishi looked at this knife after he left. He thought that, oh, this is a very nice knife. So he started cutting the grass with it around him where he was sitting. And in that process, by mistake, he hurt some living entities also who was there. And after a long time, when he found that sharpness of the knife, he got attracted by the knife. So he started making it sharper, made it more sharp with that. And that rishi, who was supposed to have the Brahminical qualities, in very short time, he became a Kshatriya. All his austerities, penances, everything has gone. And so all it requires, what Krishna, the story is telling us is, all it requires a simple knife is enough to change our vasanas inside to violent nature. When Krishna is saying here,
brahmacharyam ahimsacha shariram tapamuchyate, it's not so easy to maintain that ahimsa in us,
non-violence towards others, isn't it? So, a small thing like that is enough to change the way of thinking inside.
You know, his way of thinking has completely changed
in a very short period of time.
And suppose if I want to disturb somebody's tapasak, all I have to do is to hand him over a nice television. He will say, everything will go, all sadhana will go, all tapasya will, everything will be finished. In a few days time you will see, he will be like anyone else. His sadhana will go, and if you talk to him, you will notice that tapasya will go.
Very easily you can have it, isn't it? So Sita Devi says to him that just by a small knife, one's tapasya has gone. One's, that is, you lost your tapasya, austerity, isn't it?
So, says to Ramachandra, don't keep that bow and arrow. It will go, you will lose your tapasya as well. So, at that time, Ramachandra says to him, says to Sita Devi, I may give up anything in this life, but I may even give up the kingdom. I may give you up. I may give up yourself also. I may give up Lakshmana also. But whatever guarantee I have given to the rishis, I will not move away from that. Similarly, the same thing happened later. That Ramachandra gave up Ayodhya. Ramachandra gave up Sita Devi. And Ramachandra gave up Lakshmana also. Lakshmana also. So, why did he do all these things? Krishna is saying here, pratnya pujanam, isn't it? So, when the rishis, for the sake of austerities, when they asked about these disturbances from the rakshasas, Ramachandra said, I will give anything they want for the purpose. And when he saw this, what has happened, and Sita Devi after spoken about this, when what the Maharshis, all the Rishis have spoken, that for the sake of tapasya, for performing austerities and penances, Ramachandra said, I will offer anything to you, isn't it? So, really, Ramachandra wanted to see a person who is performing tapasya with this understanding in a deeper level. It is with this intention that Ramachandra walked into Shabari's ashram. Walked into Shabari's ashram. Shabari was a very, very old person. She couldn't even walk. To that extent, she was old when Ramachandra met Shabari, isn't it? And Ramachandra, when she was standing in front of Ramachandra, her body was already so weak because of the age, and Ramachandra was noticing all these things, and seeing Shabari in that form, Ramachandra says, how beautiful she is. Shabari is beautiful. Why? Shurpanaya dressed up like a beautiful woman and went to see Ramachandra. Ramachandra never said that about Shurpanaya. But here, Ramachandra is saying that, at that time he never talked about the beauty, but seeing this old lady, very old lady, and who couldn't even walk, Ramachandra says, how beautiful she is. Because what is that beautiful beauty Ramachandra is talking about? Shabari's tapasya. Remember, Shabari served Madanga Maharshi exactly like the way Ekanath saved Janardana Swami. Without any reservation, totally dedicated and serving the master. That was the service what has made Ekanath the Ekanath who he is. And that's what exactly made Shabari also. Madanga Maharaj, she didn't know anything. She has not studied Shastram. She has not performed any sadhana. No upasana, nothing. To her credit.
Somehow or the other, due to Salsangam with Madanga Maharshi, she started serving the ashram, cleaning up the ashram, bringing flowers, bringing water, things like that. The brahmacharis who were there, they didn't even take notice of it. She is coming and doing some service or what. That was their attitude. Madanga Maharshi noticed all that. Madanga Maharshi asked, who is doing all these things every day? Brahmachari said that there is one old lady who comes and does all these things. And then Madanga Maharshi was leaving. She called Shabari and told Shabari that you should stay here. One day a great personality will come and meet you here and talk about Ramachandra. And that day onwards, Shabari has been waiting. Even as I mentioned before, Ramachandra was not even born then. Even the Putrakamishti sacrifice has not happened. Even then, Madanga Maharshi was able to say this to Shabari. So you can see, when a Mahalma like Madanga Maharshi, like Janardana Swami and so many others, if we get an opportunity to serve such a person, Krishna is saying that is sufficient. That is what it is indicating. No shastram necessary, no sadhana necessary, nothing is required. But you have to be in the service of that personality and the service should be of that nature. Only then. That's what Krishna is stressing in this. Devadija Guru Pratnya Pujanam Shaucham Arjava. Shabari was not Madanga Maharshi's disciple or anything. Madanga Maharshi, in the eyes of Shabari, Shabari considered her as a great soul and decided to serve Madanga Maharshi without any reservation. No reservation in the heart. Totally dedicated and committed. So that is what Krishna is saying in these verses to us. Only in that context you can understand this verse. In the looking at the history of these personalities. So what Krishna is saying to us that when talking about that, it's a completely ripened fruit, Ramachandra says about Shabari, because of that tapasya is what Shabari has performed, and it is the beauty of that tapasya what was seen in Shabari by Ramachandra. So all these things what Krishna has spoken here, Ramachandra asked there to Shabari at that point. What is that? Ramachandra is asking Shabari, have you got the tapasya of your body, of your mind, of your words and other things? And have you got control on your aharam, on the food? In other words, what Ramachandra is saying to us, these things, one has to practice it whole life. And at least by the time of death, it should come to a person. That means tapasya in aharam has to happen by then. Attachment to, as far as eating is concerned, that tapasya has to come. What is the eating tapasya? Krishna mentions there, isn't it? That in the previous verses. So, when you mentioned there,
Ayursattva Balarogyam Sukha Preeti Vivardhanam Rasya Snigdha Sthira Hridya Ahara Satvika Priya.
So, aharam, satvika abhavam, that satvika way of eating and that control on the tongue must happen, and that is a symptom of that tapasya of eating.
So, ultimately he says, aharascha niyataha tapodhani,
that your eating is all under control. Ramachandra asked the Shabari at that time. And have you got control over your anger? He says to her. And is all your words, what you are talking, is all under control? Is your mind peaceful? Ramachandra is questioning all these things to her. And your body, has it become purified due to tapasya? And ask Shagari all these things. And all the things what Ramachandra has spoken there is the language of the sages, language of the rishis. Rishis ask these questions. So, and after saying all these things, what does this mean? Prajna pujanam. Shabari has now come to the state of a prajna. So Ramachandra is showing to us how important it is to this Prajna Bhujanam. So, in various personalities' life, you will see this happening. Once they have gone a little higher than this world, it is not due to their shastric knowledge. It is not due to their austerities, purely. Due to that tapasya they have done, and that tapasya has purified them to that level, and not due to sadhana, not due to shastram, but purely through the sadhana what they have done, which is called tapasya here. Tapasya is a sadhana. That what level it has elevated them in their life. In their life. Shabari is one of those, what Krishna calls it as prajna. Prajna. Go devadija guru prajna. Guru prajna. And Ramachandra is paying his respects to her for her position, spiritual position, isn't it? There are many, many stories like this, spoken about the great personalities in their spiritual life, what they had to go through. So, about Vivekananda, it is spoken sometimes when he went to America. He says there that he had no place to stay anywhere. He was wandering around like a monk in his sannyasi clothes. So, once he slept inside one, drum where they store this tar, asphalt. Empty drum was lying. He slept inside that in the cold weather. Nobody has invited him there. He had no one to support him either. So somebody took him home, seeing his condition, and fed him and looked after him 1 or 2 days. But the next day when he had to go to the Parliament of Religions, where he had to address the crowd, when he addressed that sisters and brothers, and as soon as he spoke, the whole assembly was moved by the address, by the way he addressed. So, where is that coming from? Prajna Pujanam. Prajna Pujanam. So, somebody noticed this on his face. Annie Besant mentions this. Annie Besant is the personality who started this Theosophical Society. She is the founder of that. So Annie Besant has seen him at that Vivekananda at that time, and he says this, that I have seen him at that point in time. So, if you have to represent someone of the Vedic tradition in that Parliament of Religions, whom should you recommend? Question was raised to her. And he mentions that it is Vivekananda whom she had in mind. Somebody mentions that he had been to America and he had been wandering around there without proper facilities to eat or a place to sleep, and mentioned this to Annie Besant. And Annie Besant was at that time mentions to him that if you can somehow get him in, and everything will be okay after that. Annie Besant says, they said to him that if you will speak on behalf of the Theosophical Society, then I'll go in. Vivekananda said, no, that's not possible. He said, I represent Sanatana Dharma, he said, not any new society, he said. I represent the tradition of the rishis and the sages. And I can only speak on that behalf, nothing else, he said. Why? That strong faith in the Shastram. Shastram, that is the kind of dedication and commitment towards the Shastram, what you see in them. That's why they will never deviate from that. If it has not gone to that deeper level, they would not be able to influence others like this, if it hasn't gone it like that. So, if you are willing to let me in, I'll go in, he said. So, when he said that, they had no choice. They let him in. And he spoke. And if you listen to that lecture, what he spoke at that time, you will see what he said, what he is talking about. So, devadvija guru prajna, pujanam shaujam arjavam, brahmacharyam ahimsa cha shariram tapa uchyate, So, all the time, this understanding that Krishna is running the everything in this world, and that always that surrendered nature to Krishna, never deviating from. So, it is at that situation when he was in America, in this situation that there was one Professor Wright who handed over a letter to him to take it inside, to ask the credential from him. He wrote in that letter, this professor who handed out this letter and told him to take it and give it to them. What did he write in that letter? He says, to ask credentials from him is to ask the sun, planet sun, that what right have you got to shine? That's the way he used. If you ask the sun why you are shining, similarly, if you ask this person, what right have you got to speak about Sanatana Samstam? Because he himself is the representative, is manifestation of that samskaram in him, that representation of that culture in him, asha samskaram in him. So you don't require any kind of authorization. That was his position also. He doesn't need any authorization. So you can see they understood immediately in that parliament, all those who were present there, all the scholars, there were many, many scholars from various other religious traditions. If you have combined all of them together, still they were no anywhere closer to him in his realizations. Book knowledge, so many people have got in this world, bookish knowledge, various studies, books, this, that and the other. But that is only a scholar. But realized souls, self-realized persons, there's not many, isn't it? So just by his very presence, everything changed. The whole atmosphere changed. So, so Annie Besant mentions this about this, that I have seen him before this lecture, what he did there. After, from that day onwards, I started realizing he's not an ordinary monk. He's not an ordinary monk. And she says that it was like he has come to fight a battle there. His presence was such. So, as soon as he spoke in the morning, the first time we sat down in the stage, everyone in the whole assembly got up. This is natural, it's understandable. The effect of that realization of the truth inside. No doubt about anything, isn't it? And he didn't speak very long, only two or three words he has spoken, and it was not even people asked him later on, why, how did this happen like that? So he says, in Bharatavarsham, right from Himalaya, right up to Kanyakumari, he says, I have traveled. Remember, his answer is very important. When they asked him, how did this happen? What did he say to him? He said, I traveled all around from Himalaya to Kanyakumari, wandering around. I was wandering around. And in that process, that I have met many, many great personalities, jnanis, and realized souls, jivan muktas, paramahamsas, and many others like that, and I have paid my obeisances to them. Who says? Vivekananda says that. I paid my obeisances to them. And so, all of them, they are performing their penances and austerities for the benefit of the Bharatavarsham. And what they did not do, they asked me to go and speak, and I have come here. And when I left, all of them have invested their tapasya in me. And that's what has done this. You see? When I left Bharatavarsham, and this has happened many years ago, isn't it? Over 100 years now. So when I went there, he says, I have been visiting these great, great souls all over. Rishis, sages who are present in the ashram, paramahamsas. And I paid my respects to them. That's what Krishna is saying here. Pratnya Bhujanam. Pratnya Bhujanam is that. Going and offering respects to great souls, realized souls. And he's saying here that they are Jivan Muktas, they are paramahamsas, they are jnanis, or different categories. And they, those rishis who are present then, they all want this Sanatana Dharmam or Rishi Dharmam should stay in this world. And they do not have the power of a Kshatriya. They are not, they don't invade people. They don't go and conquer others, but they perform penances. And they get their strength from that, tapasya. And all their tapasya, they have invested in me. And I was sent here like that. Not deputed, I came here like that. Because I knew when I'm, that's what they wanted, and I came here. And that came out in this form. So you can see, Krishna has a different way of running everything. It's not like the way we plan and we do things, isn't it? But that didn't happen in that way. So Rishis also, Ramachandra says there at that time, when wandering to the forest, when I was paying my respects to the Rishis, they have handed over to me their power to me, tapasya. And that is why and we are saying here that Ramachandra was waiting for this to happen. But they handed over everything to... Similarly, in Ramachandra, and similarly in other instances also, he says, Vivekananda says like this, Kashmir to Kanyakumari I have traveled, and I have so many liberated souls I have met, but all their hearts were behind my words, what I have spoken. What I have spoken there. That means their tapasya, what they have acquired, that has come along with me. And that's what is spoken through me. He says like this. Prajna pujanam. Prajna pujanam. This is what Krishna is saying this. Prajna pujanam. So, what we have to understand, devadvija guru prajna. People who are in the spiritually elevated state, they belong to different categories. What will help us in our spiritual life? Krishna is saying, deva pujanam. Worship of the devatas. Then, dvija, brahmana, who are in the spiritually advanced state. Then the spiritual master. And different examples, people where they derive strength from different things. And finally, Krishna talks about prajna pujanam. Prajna pujanam means this. What we saw with Ramachandra, with Shabari and Rishis, Vivekananda with all these personalities, they have gone, they visit all of them before they came to do what they want to do, they wanted to do. So, and whether we have understood this realized souls or not, that's another thing. We may not understand. But if they have looked at us at some point, if their grace has come to us in some way, it will work. You may not have done anything, but if their grace has come to you somehow, and they say that even by them seeing us is sufficient, we may not fully understand those personalities. So, we will not understand this now when we talk about it. When it happens, we will understand it better. So, here, Krishna talks about here that if it is supposed, if we had an opportunity to see a realized soul, suppose it happened like that, and you won't feel any appreciation for them. Why does that happen? Reason for that, our own prarabdham, it will take a form and make us think negatively about them. This happens often. Suppose you happen to get to see somebody who has a spiritually realized state, and you are not feeling any reverence towards that person. The main reason for that is your own prarabdham will take some form and come out in some way to be disrespectful to him. Disrespectful in the sense that that meeting will not be of any benefit to us. In such a way it will turn out. So when such things happen, you have to also take notice of this, that sometimes even spiritual life, you may have all the enthusiasm and all that, but if the prarabdham is creating some problem, then even if you had an opportunity to see a spiritually elevated person, in your mind something negative thoughts will develop against him. Sometimes you may say, oh, why is he getting into the car and traveling? Why is he using the expensive car? Or something like that. And where's the difference between him and me? So, saying something like that, we will destroy ourselves. We'll destroy ourselves. So, but if that person, out of his grace, if he had showered any grace on us, the impact of that may happen much later in life. These are all very subtle side of the spiritual life, how things develop in our own spiritual life. So, and if, at this moment you may not know about it, you are looking at him in a different way, but much, much later time, you will see that why my life has turned out in a different way. So there are a lot of subtle reasons behind our spiritual life working, which we are not conscious of. Unless we have done something in some time in the past, this taste for spiritual life would not have developed, number one. Number two, sometimes we may not have met with anybody spiritually advanced soul in this lifetime, or even sometimes the previous lifetime. But the fact that some contact with somebody may have created a wave inside, and their grace would come up and fructify later when that prarabdham is over. When that prarabdham is over. So that is what Krishna is mentioning about this particular thing, which on Pratyabhujanam. Pratyabhujanam has got all this kind of effect. That's something very difficult. We are too external, isn't it? Our mind is too much in the world outside. But these are all subtle side of the spiritual life. And once you associate with people who have this nature, and when you hear from them who have gone through this many, many times, you will observe this, that what they you are talking about makes sense. It makes sense. There are many people, even today, who know these things. And they know the subtlety of the spiritual life. That means they are very careful while dealing with others. They do not make it very simply a conversation like that, isn't it? So, so here, at that point in time, you may not notice about it, but Mahalpa's way of working and the relationship with the Mahalpa's, how it works, is totally different than the way we think about it. It's a complete subtle world it is, how it operates. And in our gross nature, we won't appreciate it very much. That's due to our gross nature. But once those who have a little bit gone, advanced in the spiritual path, you will see when they talk about it, you will have an immediate experience of that, effect of that, how it happens in their own life. So, we'll continue discussing this tomorrow morning, and hopefully we'll finish this 17th chapter by another 2 or 3 classes. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.